Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's going on?
Here's my question that I pose to you. We've talked on the air about how.
Shouldn't Tarzan have a beard? We got it.
Yes, true. How my mother is a nurse. Kevin, your mother too is a nurse.
Yes.
I don't know how you grew up, but for me, I had to be bleeding out of my eyeballs and ears in order to stay home from school because she didn't believe anything.
Yeah.
She would just be like, "You'll be fine. Suck it up. Go to school." Was your mother the same?
The same way. And
Okay.
also, if you had a problem and you asked her, she'd go, "I don't know, maybe she should go to the doctor." I'm like, "You're a nurse." At least guess.
I don't know the new math. Yeah, I get that. Jensen, how about you? I feel like your mother probably when you wanted to stay home.
Oh yeah, I was a bubble boy.
Okay.
Yeah, she allowed me to stay home. I was like,
that.
"I have menstrual cramps." She's like, "Stay home."
All right. And Bean, I'm gonna assume you don't remember.
I don't, but I do know that I almost never missed a day of school my entire 12 years.
Of course.
Not shocking. All right. Well, when I saw this on Twitter, a woman named Sarah Holiday tweeted, "Never forget the time my brother missed the bus and wrote my mom this note." And she posted the note.
So this is an extraordinary length to go to so
yes.
he can convince his mom
yes.
this is a good reason to stay home.
Yes.
All right.
So he wrote, "I missed the bus," underlined. "As your son, I regret to inform you that I've missed my means of public transportation. I know you must be on a roller coaster of emotions right now, but rest assured, I've decided to stay home. This was a tough decision to make while you were gone for 20 minutes. I'm probably in my bed, moping about the fact that I can't go to school, so please, don't interrupt me. If you require any further assistance, please see the pros and cons chart on the backside."
He made a pros and cons chart.
A pros and cons chart. By the way, I need more information on where she was during that 20 minutes.
Right.
She's now back home noticing this note from her son while he's in bed. Don't interrupt him. He's moping. He doesn't want to be bothered.
Right. I mean, mom was only out for 20 minutes. She could have run the kid to school if he missed the bus.
A lot of questions need to
okay.
be answered.
Okay.
But let's talk about his pros and cons.
Okay.
Here's a pro for him missing school and just taking this day off. It's the first day at home this quarter. Grades will be fine. Okay.
All right.
Solid.
Answers that one.
Solid.
I think that has some legs.
Absolutely.
Sure.
But then here's the thing. He also listed cons, which just in case she brought them up, he already had an answer for.
All right.
So here's one of his cons. Might become a habit. He put in parentheses, doubtful. So just in case she came at him with that. And then his other pro. Today was going to be a bad one. Can't get over my hair. I mean, the kid was having a bad hair day.
We've
all been there.
Yeah. He's got great points. His other con, you have to call the school and tell them I've got polio. What is going on?
I love this kid, and
this
as a parent,
kid.
I would walk into his house and high-five him.
And that is exactly what the mom wound up tweeting because the daughter posted this, "Never forget the time my brother missed the bus and wrote my mom this note." Mm-hmm. And people underneath were like, "Well, what happened? Did he go to school?" And the mom piped in. She's like, "Did you see the note?" Of course not. I'm not sending that kid to school. That
celebrate.
Was excellent. But she also did say it didn't become a habit. That was the one and only time. But I just thought that was so delightful.
He put so much more work into that note than he would have put in being
all
at school all
day. All day at school. And I just have to say I love him. And I hope he winds up being a politician. Something. I feel like I believe in this man. So
this man, 2020?
Kid that missed the bus, 2040?
Yeah, as someone who went home every time I had to poo, I celebrate him, and I think he speaks my language. And by the way, that's true. I went home every time I had to poo.
Yeah, we don't have time to.
Just letting you know.
We can't unpack.
What a day. A couple of real-life rock stars in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Monkey from the band Korn right there on K-Rock. And Brandon Mendenhall, guitarist for the Mendenhall Experiment. How are you, Brandon?
I'm good. I'm good. Happy to be here.
Good to see both of you guys. By the way, we were playing a Korn song as we got the guys set up, and Monkey, you weren't mad at us for that.
I'm not mad at that. You know,
you said, are you playing this on the air?
I'm registered with BMI.
Okay,
you know? I want you to know.
All right,
and that song got you a boat, so you're good.
Yeah, there you
you're
go.
Good with that, we got a lot of ground to cover here, and it's so fascinating. I want people to stick around and hear this story because it is so inspiring and so fun. I'm trying to figure out a best way to introduce how your paths cross. And I guess we'll start with you, Brandon, because you, at a very early age, got exposed to the band Korn, and it kind of changed your life from the first time you ever heard their song Blind, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I heard Blind, and I was like, who is this band? What is this? And I just got the record and just totally immersed myself in anything I could find, magazines or info, and found out who they were and found relatability between me and them, and it just grew and grew from there.
Let's talk about your struggle as a kid with cerebral palsy. Your hand was pretty much
paralyzed.
So paralyzed. You couldn't play the guitar. But you really, really, really wanted to play the guitar and be in a band.
Totally. It was my passion, and everybody told me it'd never be possible, and I'm a dude that doesn't take no for an answer, so guitar was the one thing I didn't want to let go of, so I just pushed myself to rehabilitate my hand through just playing the instrument, and then when I read the story about how Monkey cut the tip of his finger off in a magazine.
I'm so glad you said finger.
Sorry.
That may be for another movie. Yeah. Let's let Monkey pick it up there. What happened to your hand?
Yeah, so when I was 13, I cut the end of my finger off, and it sort of drove me to, you know, I had to rehabilitate it in a way, and the doctors kind of, the doctor, who was a reconstructive surgeon, said, what about an instrument? And I said, how about the guitar? I loved the guitar. I loved the sound of the guitar. And so that sort of drove me to pick up a guitar. My dad bought me a guitar. And mm-hmm. and so the rest is, you know.
I mean, there certainly are instances of people who, I mean, Jerry Garcia is probably the most famous one, of a guy who had his, you know, part of his middle finger was missing. And he just figured out a way to kind of incorporate, use what he had.
Yeah,
and
it sounds Tony like Iommi, too.
He
cut a couple of his fingers off, and they put prosthetics on, and that's how he played.
And it sounds like the same for both of you guys, is you just, through passion and hard work, you just managed to use whatever you had available on the guitar. But it seems like, and this is what's so impressive, Brandon, is you worked so hard for so long to be able to play the guitar because you don't have the range of all of your fingers being available to you on the neck of the guitar, right?
Correct. My dexterity is not what a normal guitar player would have. So I tune my guitars to like a drop C, and then I play these flat chords all the way up and down my neck and focus on songwriting, and I'm blessed to have an amazing band behind me to just kind of take my rough skeletons and build them into amazing tunes.
Is it getting any better? Or will it ever get better?
It's getting better.
It is.
Like, I find it, the more I play, the more I push myself, it's a slow build.
Yeah.
The thing that impressed me so much, not only the healing power of music, literally and figuratively, it improved your confidence, it improved your coordination, it improved your speech. All of this, the way you pushed yourself because you love the guitar so much, shaped your life.
Exactly. I want to do this on a world level like K-Rock, so to be able to do that and be here, you've got to be able to do all of it. You've got to do the interviews, you've got to be able to speak confidently, carry yourself well, look good, and you have to be able to play and write really good songs.
And that was cool too, like it's a very specific example in the film, obviously, what he's overcoming, but also you didn't just pick up the guitar. You worked at Westlake Studios out here in Los Angeles. You like studied the craft, went to school for it, got a loan from your grandparents for a guitar. Like, you went through the struggles that all musicians do and almost double, triple because of your handicap.
And full self, too.
Full self.
I love it. I love music. I love being a part of it. I love being in the studio, and I want to do it on the national level. So,
was there any part of you that died a little bit when doctors would tell you you can't, and your grandpa and different, I mean, it has to hurt for a while at least.
Oh, it hurt. Yeah. It definitely hurt. But that was the fuel for me to kind of turn it around and push me to do this. And that's just the underlying theme of my life, is taking a negative and making it a positive, just like the guys in Corn do with Jonathan and all the stuff that he's been through, Monkey with the finger. And I think they, didn't you have an instructor that told you about Tony Iommi?
Yeah, Tony Iommi also
it
had a prosthetic.
Push you over the...
Yeah,
the
just it made me feel like, you know, this is possible. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many other people that have, you know, disabilities, and that, you know, they can overcome some of the things. And it's just, it's encouraging. And his story, as it relates to this, is so inspiring. Just... When you see the film,
it's
amazing. Him growing up from, you know, getting teased and bullied, and like a lot of us did, guys in my band, myself.
Yeah. And I think that speaks to who Korn is, because he felt such a connection. And Korn speaks to people that maybe feel like an outsider, feel like they have no place. Mm-hmm. And the thing that got you recognized by the guys at Korn, your tattoos on your back. Mm-hmm. Right?
Oh yeah, we should mention that, Brandon. What do you have on your back?
We need to take a break.
You're the bad man.
We're talking.
We need to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the tattoos and you two. Let me hit this before
the break. We're talking to Monkey from Korn. We're talking to Brandon Mendenhall from his band, the Mendenhall Experiment. The movie we're referring to is called Mind Over Matter. It is available digitally and on DVD today. When we come back, we'll tell you more about the movie and also give you a chance to go to the red carpet event that's happening Monday in Hollywood with these guys as well. So more in a moment right after this on K-Rock. We are talking about the film Mind Over Matter, available digitally and on DVD today. James Monkey Schaefer, guitarist for the band Korn, in our studio, along with Brandon Mendenhall from the Mendenhall Experiment. You know, we talked about how Brandon first became aware of Korn. Monkey, when did you first become aware of Brandon?
I think we were just talking about this. I thought it was in Ohio that I met you, but you were saying that it's in Peoria, Illinois.
Yeah, it was Peoria at a show. I showed up super early because I wanted to meet the dudes. I've got this crazy Korn tattoo on my back. It's like a spray paint mural with Monkey on my right shoulder and head on my left, so like how they would be on stage with the Korn logo in the middle and their name.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
It's spray paint text.
Now, let me just ask you a question, because because there are millions of fans out there that want to meet somebody in a band. So you would just go super early, stay super late? Is that the key to it?
Well, that's what I thought the key was. And just so happened they saw me from a window of their bus and sent one of the techs out to come find me, threw me in a room with them, and I was completely starstruck.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't even talk.
So, Monkey, tell me what's going through your mind, and I'm sure you've had this happen many times over the years when you see crazy Korn tattoos. Do you think, oh, this is such an honor, or do you think, this guy is a weirdo?
At first, I used to think they're really weird. And then I thought, you know, the music's starting to resonate with people. People are understanding the message and where we come from and who we are as people. And it started maybe into the third year when the band was on tour and stuff. Like, these people, like, this music is becoming bigger than us.
Yeah.
That seems like it was a surprise to you.
It was. It was, yeah. And then now, even still, when I see, you know, people with tattoos, I'm like, that's really cool, you know?
Yeah, it's inspiring.
It is
Monkey,
inspiring.
Who was that for you when you were coming up? Like, who was the rock star that you idolized enough that you might have gotten a tattoo of?
I might have gotten a tattoo of Steve Vai, or like, because he was such a big inspiration
He's a
for
guitar
me.
God.
He's just like, he can make any emotion come through the guitar, and that is.
And have you become friends with him?
You know, we see each other, do charity events and some such things like that together, and
Steve Vai played a huge part in this film, and didn't even know it probably, right, with the guitar.
Yeah, the guitar I gave to Monkey was like the old Ibanez Universe, but the ones they had were all beat up, and I had one that was pretty mint, and Steve signed it for me, but I always felt like it was better in the hands of Monkey, and when he didn't give up on the band when Brian left, I wanted to give it to him as a thank you for, like, overcoming and continuing my favorite band.
And you
and
played that on
me.
Yeah, and you played that on tour.
Yeah, I played that on tour every night because it was so inspiring that he's giving me a guitar that was signed by Steve, who one of my all-time favorite guitar players. And
then it came full circle.
Yeah,
because
and he gave it back to me.
Yeah, amazing.
That's awesome.
Or gave it to me.
Yeah. Brandon, I have two things I want to talk to you about because I know we're going to run out of time fast. One is let's talk about your band for a little bit because you had a little bit of trouble because like all new bands, there's so many hoops you have to jump through to try to make it in Los Angeles, play in the Strip, and everything like that. You had members come and go, but you ended up with a great group of guys. And your band is doing really, really well right now, the Mendenhall Experiment, right? You play a lot around town still?
Yeah, we played last night. We played the 5-Star Bar downtown L.A.
That's fantastic. And you got obviously you signed a label deal 6 years from the day of your very first concert, which is amazing.
Unreal.
And I asked if we could pull a clip because you're up on all the streaming services. I thought it might be fun to hear a little bit of the Mendenhall Experiment here on K-Rock. And I think this is a little bit of the song called Seize the Day. What do you want to tell us about it, Brandon?
Seize the Day is like, you know, it's a single, but it's also kind of a mantra for us. Like, go out there and seize the day. Make every day count, because you never know when it's all going to be over for you.
All right, let's hear a little of that. It's a great song, dude. Mm-hmm. It's a great song. And the other half of my question is, tell me about the work that you do with other people with disabilities. What's that all about?
So I'm on the board of governors for UCPLA, United Cerebral Palsy of Los Angeles, and I'm basically just like an ambassador for people with disabilities. I go out and do as much charity work as I can to inspire and help the youth and anybody with disabilities and anybody that interacts with people with disabilities, trying to end the stigma that I went through growing up. But like, people with disabilities are much more capable than society gives them credit for.
It must be so strange for you to have been made fun of this for your whole life, and now you're on the other side of it, being an inspiration to other people who know what that is.
Yeah, and that was my goal with the whole thing. Take the negative and turn it into a positive.
You know, one of the most interesting parts of the film is when you go to, and your band goes to play with, for like a home with disabilities, and the way to see everybody interact with
it's incredible.
The music, yeah. And it's so touching. And it shows how it comes full circle.
You can feel the hope in those scenes, too, from people who are seeing him go out there and do something that he's been told he couldn't do.
Right.
You can see the people that are watching and meeting you in the meet and greet after.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon just makes me feel like a loser. I got to be honest. I mean,
you know, I got here, man.
If the shoe fits.
I got a ukulele last year, Brandon, and I'm convinced that I'm going to be a great ukulele player. Haven't had one lesson yet, and I'm looking at what you went through to play the guitar, and I'm doing nothing over here. I feel like a garbage person now.
Just play it. Figure it out.
Just play it, Bean.
Brandon, right. He is saying aloha a lot. So
I am saying
that,
aloha.
Is that a good way to get into the ukulele?
I think
start
so.
Aloha.
Before we run out of time, Monkey, tell me what's new with Korn. What's going on with you guys?
We are working. I can't say. I'm not supposed to say, but it's really good.
So you're working.
You're in the studio.
In the studio.
Anyways.
You're in the studio.
It's going to be out later this year.
All right.
Okay.
Whatever it is, sure. Sure.
And it's really good, and it's
and then a tour.
It's in the process.
Maybe after that.
Tour
with whatever it is.
Pretty tight to the chest.
Okay. With other people running around.
Okay.
Open mic.
What's the
with us?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
Well, I see what you just did, Brandon.
What's the event Monday night, Monkey? You're going to be there at the exclusive VIP LA red carpet premiere of Mind Over Matter in Beverly Hills.
That's right. We're going to show the film to some close friends and celebrate Brandon's success in all of this and show people his courage. And we're really proud of him.
Okay. Let's give away some tickets to that right now. If this sounds great, you'll love the movie. 1-800-520-1067. You can be there. You can meet the guys Monday night. If you want to go, call now. Callers 20 through 24. You'll see Mind Over Matter for everybody else. It's available digitally and on DVD today. And like I said, when you sat down, we've all seen the movie and we all give it all the thumbs up. So
it's so great. Inspirational.
It really is.
So good. Yeah.
Check this out, you guys. You're really going to love it. Monkey, I know we'll see you again. Brandon, I hope we see you again as well. And congratulations. Continued success with the Mendenhall experiment.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Jensen, you hanging in there okay with the Boban trade?
Still hurts. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've been writing letters and erasing them and trying to figure out what my goodbye letter to him is going to be.
Wow.
Will you be dealing with that in therapy this week?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she already knows who it is. I just have to say he at this point. He's gone.
Well, let's all just remember this to make us feel better on trying personal days like today.
At the end of the day, you're all going to die.
I mean, at least we
got
that.
That's a good point.
My guy.
That,
you
know. Speaking of dying, by the way, or maybe more accurately, not dying, I was thinking over the weekend, I don't know why this came to my mind, but we've never discussed people who get paid to go into medical clinical trials.
I do see ads for that on TV all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
And I think it is a fascinating topic, and I would not at all be surprised if a bunch of our listeners have done that. Look. Or should I say listen?
Yes, you should.
We were all starving college students at one time, and we all worked as much as we could, but still came up short.
I sold a spleen. I sold my spleen.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they replace or transfer spleens.
The guy that bought it didn't know that.
I guess not.
Joke's on him.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people who actually use clinical trials as a way to make some extra cash.
How much money can you make with that?
Well, we're going to get into that. Okay. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have ever volunteered to be part of a medical clinical trial. The average clinical trial, Kevin, pays as low as $50 average to up to around $300.
Wow.
But there are some that pay a lot more than that. Here's a lady that I found who was that struggling graduate student that we were just talking about and decided that she was going to make some money with clinical trials. The resource that she used was called clinicaltrials.gov.
Let me type that in. Hold on.
Clinicaltrials.gov. Go ahead and type it in and see what comes up. They tell you which clinical trials are happening all over the country. One of the major clinical trials that she participated in was at the National Institute for Mental Health. And, Kevin, you would have loved this one. She was part of a study that looked into what the brain, was happening with your brain when you were gambling.
Oh, really?
So she underwent a series of MRI scans. She was part of the control group, or so she was told, in a gambling study. So she got to gamble while lying inside of a scanner. If she placed her bets just right, she also won money in addition to the pay that she was making from the study.
She got to gamble as well.
She made roughly $100 for every hour that she spent inside the MRI. Excuse me. That's not a bad way to go.
No.
By the time the study was done, she had accumulated roughly $1,550 over a few days.
Wow.
After this study closed, she was asked if she wanted to undergo a PET scan for a Parkinson's disease drug study. The only hitch here was that the medication was radioactive. See, there are some downsides. I mean, some of these studies, they actually give you diseases, you know, because they want to see, you know, how they are transmitted and how to cure them, right?
I've seen this on Passage with Paul Gosselaar.
She said, I make sure to ask every question I could think of before saying yes to the study. When I was done, I had $500 in my pocket. After she graduated, she moved to Madison. She looked into clinical trials at the University of Wisconsin. She located a phase 3 allergy study and qualified for it with a skin prick test, confirming that I had a ragweed allergy. Then for the next 6 months, she took daily medicine, a dose of ragweed extract in order to soften her body's reaction to ragweed, and recorded the allergy symptoms. So then she would go into the lab once a month and get another $75 every month that she came in. So, I mean, she made $675 after that. And she just goes on and on and on. She's just bouncing from one study to another, and it ended up being pretty much a part-time job. There are some people who actually make a living doing this, by the way.
That don't have another job?
Yes.
They just sit and watch TV and then they go and get their blood taken?
There's a company called Covance, a company that performs thousands of drug trials for pharmaceutical companies and other labs. They pay extremely well for participation, but the physical criteria for its studies can be difficult to achieve. So obviously you have to be in a certain good kind of health.
Do you want to know how many I found?
In Los Angeles, within
50 miles of Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yes.
There are currently 19,617 studies you could be a part of.
19,000.
Yeah. Some I
Are
found
you
just
kidding?
Immediately. I don't have a lot of time with it, obviously, but one I found immediately is that they'll pay you if you just had cancer and you just want to take improv classes.
What?
Because they want to see the effect of improv on rehabilitation.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought you were making that up as a joke.
No, it's real.
Wow. By the way, it is mentioned in some of the other articles on this that I read that there are lots of people who have serious illnesses like cancer who volunteer for these because they know that these procedures, these cures or hopeful cures are not available yet.
Yeah.
They're not FDA approved. This is part of the human trials is part of the process to get those things made, you know, made legal and available.
So otherwise they wouldn't get that medicine.
Exactly. Wow. They wouldn't get that medicine.
I found another one that makes no sense to me, but I have to tell you guys.
Okay.
This is a study to try virtual reality after breast reconstruction surgery. So I'm assuming that it says that they're administered via VR headsets to manage pain.
To manage.
So they give you a virtual reality headset and you get to do things that are relaxing. Like this is, I mean, basically I'm going through this and there are tons of different things. I mean, regarding the Atkins diet and dietary management for different diseases.
We may have hit on to a gold mine here, you guys.
Yeah, if you're epileptic, there's one here for you.
All right, let's take a quick call before the break and we'll include as many of your calls as we have time for it. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Sam? He's on line one. He's joining us from HB here on the Kevin Beach Show. Sam, we've never talked about this on the show before. Good morning. We're talking about medical clinical trials. You have been a part of one.
I have. I saw, like you guys said, I saw them all over Facebook, and I decided that I'm going to try it. I went in. They gave me a shot one day. They observed me for 3 days in-house. They had this big, like, bunk bed kind of a, what do you call it?
Jail?
Oh,
So you stayed at the place for 3 days while you were being monitored?
Right, because they wanted to do check your blood pressure and draw blood every hour to make sure, you know, just to check on you.
What were they trying to solve? What were they working on?
It was a vaccine for Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. And what turns out is it was just something that kills tons of people in the Middle East, but this is just the vaccine.
Huh.
And then when I was all done, when I was all said and done, they gave me $1,500. I had to go on every month.
$1,500?
Yeah. I would go on once a month for 7 months so they can draw blood and do blood pressure. And that was it.
Yeah, but also keep in mind, this is how Stranger Things happened. This is how 11 became 11.
$1,500 for 3 days?
That's pretty good.
Basically just sitting around in bed and playing your Game Boy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I did joke with them. I said, how long before I can vibrate through walls? And they said, ha, 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 that's not funny.
6 months.
All right, Sam, appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. 1-800-520-1067. What have you let them do to you and for how much? We're talking medical clinical trials, not what you were thinking.
Yeah.
And we'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Head of Monsters and Men, let's talk to Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Talking about the medical trials, what did you participate in and how much did it get you?
I got paid $300. It was for a memory study at UC Irvine.
Okay.
And I had to play half an hour of Super Mario Brothers for every day for a month. And I got paid $300.
What?
I did that for free.
Right?
I told my son about it. He's in college. He goes, I would have done it for $50.
But wait, that's only $10 a day, though, right?
But he's playing a video game.
He would have done it for free.
Yeah, but he has to drive down there for $10 to play half an hour.
No, they gave me a Wii to take home, and I played video games on the Wii console. So I didn't have to go inside.
Oh, you played at home. Okay.
It's truly unbelievable.
That's unbelievable.
You're living the American dream.
Yeah. You're a hero. Seriously. I just want to say Mike 2020 right now. Thank you for the call, sir. We're taking your calls. What did you participate in? What kind of clinical medical trial? 1-800-520-1067. You're up next on.
We're talking about you signed up for medical tests.
Was it clinicaltrials.gov? Is that right, Jensen? Is that where you're at?
Yes, clinicaltrials.gov. I found three incredible ones. One is investigating the cardiovascular toxicity of exposure to electronic hookah smoking. You could join that right now. You could also join to be a medical clown for pediatric blood drawing. So you go in and you just act like a clown for kids getting their
just
blood
distract
drawn.
Distract them?
Yep.
So you're a phlebotomist dressed up like a clown.
Well, I think you're in addition to.
Okay.
I think
okay.
you're an added plus.
I see.
And then the last one I found is effects of vitamin B12 treatment in singers, because supposedly it helps their vocal cords.
Oh.
These are things I spent 5 minutes on the site.
Huh.
It's remarkable.
And if you weren't with us in the last segment, Jensen said there are 19,000 clinical medical trials currently going on in Southern California or looking for people to be involved.
Some are actively recruiting or about to recruit, but they're all active treatments.
Amazing. Yeah. All right, let's get right back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Caleb is in Laguna Hills. This one doesn't sound quite as much fun as the guy who was playing Super Mario and getting paid for it, but Caleb, what kind of medical trial were you a part of?
Hi, yeah. So they kept me awake for 64 hours straight and did an MRI on my brain every 4 hours.
How did they keep you awake? What were they doing? Did a cattle prod? Dog collar?
I mean, we watched a lot of TV.
Now we're losing
them. We're just getting really bored and just throwing a ball back and forth for probably about 4 hours straight.
Oh, my gosh. What do you? Did they tell you what it was they were trying to learn from you?
Well, they kept, like, putting bios in our head and, like, measuring our brain waves, and I thought it was really weird. So I asked at the end, so what is this for? And they said, oh, this is for the Navy. So they torture prisoners by keeping them awake, and they want to see how that acts on the brain.
Oh, oh great. Man. Yeah, okay. Listen, we're doing some torturing, and we need to try it out on
also,
someone.
Also, in between TV shows you're watching, can we waterboard you?
How much did they pay you to go through that worst 3 days of your life, Caleb?
It was $1,000.
All right.
As a college student, it was pretty legit.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah, pretty good.
$1,000. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to one that's a lot more fun. This is going to be TJ, please. Line 7. TJ is in Atwater Village. What did they pay you to do, TJ?
Yeah, sorry. I saw an ad. This was leading up to the Proposition 215 a couple decades back in the Hollywood Reporter, and they wanted marijuana smokers, cigarette smokers, crack smokers, or non-smokers. And that pretty much described everybody on the planet. So I said, well, that's me. And they had me go in, and they brought out this medically machine-rolled joint as big as my thumb. And it turned out it was a bronchial study. So they made me smoke the entire joint. And then they put a tube down my throat just a little bit to scrape a little bit of skin to test the bronchial effects. And they lost my paperwork and had me come back and do it a second
time. Fantastic. Best case scenario.
They're the ones losing it, but you're the one with the weed.
You are a hero.
Yeah.
A hero. Now, did they also pay you in addition to giving you the good weed?
Yes, they paid me twice because they had me come back $380 twice.
Oh, my God.
USA! USA!
Right?
USA!
Fantastic.
USA!
TJ I have
wins.
A feeling a lot of our – thank you very much for the call, sir. I have a feeling a lot of our listeners are going to be going to that website and looking for the hookup. Jenny texts in from the 562. My husband and I did a clinical trial to test male birth control. It was a testosterone cream that he rubbed on his arm like a lotion, and then we got blood tests to see if the testosterone transferred to me. We were paid $1,000 each for 3 weekends. We had to sleep in the hospital where they were conducting the trial for 3 Saturdays in a row. But hey, $1,000 each is $1,000 each, right?
Yeah, not mad.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we try, let's see.
Vartan in North Hollywood?
Sure, let's talk to Vartan. Yeah, he's on line 8, North Hollywood up next.
Hey, Vartan.
Hey, what's up, you guys? The actual, like, the procedure isn't anything special. I had an MRI. But the funny thing was, my cousin worked at a children's hospital, and she told me, hey, like, if you come in, we're doing some MRI tests, we'll give you $150. I was like, sure, you know, hell yeah, I'm in for that. And then what happened was I completely forgot about it. And the night before, I was at my buddy's house getting, like, completely trashed, drinking and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a text from her around midnight saying, hey, don't forget, you got to be at the hospital at 7 o'clock in the morning. And that's when I was like, oh, damn. You know, I was like, all right, cool, no problem. So I end up going there. I didn't even fall asleep that night because I was afraid I might just sleep through it. So I ended up going to the MRI to Children's Hospital. And I even told her, I'm like, dude, I'm drunk. You know, I'm like, it's going to be all right. And then she's like, yeah, that's fine. Don't worry about it. She goes, it's just a test. I'm like, all right, cool. And then the doctor or whoever was the technician was like, hey, like, if you get claustrophobic or whatnot, just, like, you know, wave at us and whatnot, and we'll pull you out. I was like, all right, no problem. The funny thing is they put me in the machine. I actually fell asleep in the MRI machine. And when the test was over, they literally had to, like, pretty much, like, shake me to wake me up to get up and leave.
Yeah, so use the paddles. Yeah.
You took a nap and got paid $150 for it. That's what happened.
Exactly.
Well done, sir. Thank you for the call. All right. How about Jenny, line 1, Pasadena? if I'm understanding this correctly, it sounds like maybe there was some free plastic surgery involved. Is that right, Jenny?
Yes. Yes.
And was this out of the back of a van in a Vons parking lot?
I'm sorry, no.
No.
No. When I heard about it, a friend of mine had done a couple of studies, and you're right, there are a bunch of places, especially in Pasadena, that hold all these studies. Mine was a tummy tuck for painkillers. So you get the tummy tuck, they give you painkillers, or do they? They either give you a painkiller or placebo.
Interesting.
So that was a study for for that. So leading up to it, you know, you go for your paperwork, $50. You go for lab work, $100. I went to maybe three visits worth, mm-hmm. and received $2,000.
Wow.
Before the surgery, until they told me I was not a candidate because I had a hernia.
Oh, well, still good payout.
Yeah,
for nothing.
But I still can. And then, of course, they recommended me to a study for hernia.
So win-win.
It just keeps going on and on.
Painkillers, yes. But after that, I cashed out. I was like, no, all these side effects.
I'm glad you called, Jenny. I'm glad it sort of worked out for you, at least monetarily anyway. And I think we have all just discovered.
About an hour from now, Omar is a creeper.
Mm-hmm.
Find out about that.
There's probably one right now, too, but we'll find out why.
Right.
Yeah.
It came to our attention yesterday in a very clear way. And
you don't just become a pervert. You're one your whole life.
That is true. But he was able to hide it until yesterday. So we're going to tell you about that. And the Ace Man, Adam Carolla, will also join us in studio. Right now, Jensen is here with... Get up, get on up,
on this.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
Get up,
get on up,
on this.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
All right, wish me luck here.
Wish you luck.
Yeah, this one's going to be a little difficult to explain.
All right.
Over the last 6 months of me being on the show, I think the number one thing that people have reached out to me about, and it's kind of shocking,
mm-hmm.
Most people have asked me about sneakers.
Well, yeah,
okay,
because
yeah.
you've talked about how you have a collection.
I'm a shoe head, mm-hmm. as everyone sure. knows. Could have right. went sneakerhead, went the other way.
Sure.
And so, I talk about pinball and wrestling and things that I'm into, mm-hmm. but I don't really, people, I would say I've gotten maybe 20 to 30 messages just asking me how to start, how to get into the game, if I think these shoes are good, if they should pick up this one, are these comfortable, are these good for collectors?
Do you do it for an investment or not at all?
That's a great question that I don't know the answer to.
Okay.
I have probably 150 pairs of shoes. Mm-hmm. I would say I rotate around 10 of them. So
really?
Yeah, how many of them are unopened?
Oh, well, they're all opened.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah. When I got engaged to Danielle, she was smart enough to work through my OCD
right.
and say, we'll pull them out of boxes and we'll get you cases. So I have like this very cool display that she mm-hmm. bought me for Valentine's Day 1 year that's all like a... plastic open cases
so you can see them.
Exactly.
Oh, that's pretty
easy.
Cool.
Okay.
Still, the disease is strong and prevalent that
but
I don't wear them all.
You only wear about 10.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But then eventually I'll throw those away and then new ones go into the rotation.
Okay.
So I'm not that unhealthy. But I do love shoes. And it seems that other people do too. But it is a daunting hobby, mm-hmm. a daunting thing to get into.
It can be an expensive thing too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I wanted to help them out. And this is the easiest way for me to do so. And I assume that you... don't have the kind of time that like a 15-year-old Fairfax High School student has where you have to like wait in line
right.
for hours and maybe even
sometimes
like days.
Overnight.
And then online, even when they're released, it takes 5 seconds mm-hmm. and they're sold out. And
right.
these are mostly Nikes are what I collect. Mm-hmm. But this happens with, you know, the Kanye Reeboks and Adidas and, mm-hmm. you know, all those things that are going on. So here we go, guys. This is an app. And it's for the casual fan who's looking to get cool sneakers.
Okay.
Casual fan. So
casual.
You don't have to start a collection and do all that 150 pair crap.
All. You could just get into cool sneakers. It's called StockX.
Okay.
It's downloadable. A lot of people might know about it already, but I think when I've been taking these questions from listeners, no one knows what it is.
StockX.
Founded in 2015 by Detroit native Josh Luber. It's a partnership with the Cleveland Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert. You know him because he went in and out of fights with LeBron James. But he's also an investor and an entrepreneur. And StockX is an online marketplace for buying and selling sneakers online with a very easy-to-follow interface. And all you need is a beginner-level knowledge of the shoe game, which is mm-hmm. just basically, I like these.
Right.
That's all you need
right.
to know. The site acts as a middleman between buyers and sellers. It's a secondary free market kind of thing. And it helps kind of change the arduous and sometimes shady task of using eBay or Craigslist to buy sneakers.
Can you use like filters for the stuff that you really like versus stuff
absolutely
you don't like?
You could put a heart on it and then it ends up in your, you know, sort of in your cache so you
okay.
can see what you're into.
All right.
For every purchase made on the app, StockX uses a staff of almost now 500 employees to find experts to make sure everything you purchase is authentic and guaranteed to be so.
Wow.
Now, this is a problem. Sneakers is such a big business now that you have factories in China recreating them and having a whole new business for just bootlegs.
Right.
So shoes that cost, you know, there's shoes on this app that I'm not encouraging you to buy, but there are thousands of dollars worth of shoes.
Wow.
But then there's normal, 150, whatever.
That's a lot, by the way.
That is a ton of money for sneakers. So you no longer have to worry about scammers or fakes, but also the site works as a stock market of sorts, hence the name. You can easily track the aftermarket value of these shoes, what they're selling for, and how many people are buying them. They also include streetwear, watches, and handbags. Now, I'm just putting you onto the sneakers part.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could buy something on the site, you could either purchase it immediately for the price the seller is looking to sell it for. So, mm-hmm. for example, if you're selling it, you put it up, you say, I want $150 for that. Oh, good, I'll buy that. Click the button.
So this is a secondary market, though.
Absolutely.
So the guy who had it may have bought it for $99, and he's selling it for $150.
And it's right there on the site. You
okay.
can see how much he paid for it retail as well.
All right.
I just looked up a shoe that I had a long time ago.
Sure.
And I'm going to tell you, they were the most comfortable shoes, you know, when I'm out there balling.
Yes. Yes.
They were the Grant Hill Fila 95.
Great shoes.
The greatest.
Great
they
shoes.
They were so great.
And they re-released them recently.
Yeah, I thought he was super cute. That's why I got the shoe.
Of sure. course.
228 is the lowest ask.
Yeah, so you
so
can
I
buy
can
it.
Now buy or bid.
And on the same page, it should tell you the retail, so you can decide whether
wow.
or not that's a good purchase.
This is fantastic.
And then on top of that, as you see, you
wait,
can see.
Wait, there's purses.
Right.
That's
hold
what
on.
He said.
I said
okay,
that.
I wasn't listening.
But also, the other cool part is you can see what other people are paying for the Grant Hills right now currently on the site.
Amazing.
Now, do you look at this in case you want to get rid of some?
I've
Jensen?
Done that.
Like,
I've done that.
Like, this one is through
yeah.
the roof.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I'll sell it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That happens all the time.
No
I
kidding.
Normally keep them, but I do buy a lot on this site. And that works. Sometimes you can get shoes for under retail.
Wow.
So if
wow.
there's a lot on the site, it costs $180 if you go to like a Foot Locker, but on the site right now, it could be $140. The seller pays about 8% to 9.5% fee to StockX.
Mm-hmm.
The buyer doesn't give any money
okay.
to
that's
StockX.
Good.
And that's basically you have to do that and link it up to your credit card or PayPal. So there's no such thing as not giving the money immediately. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sure.
So like there's no world where the guy doesn't pay you on eBay. It just takes out the money. Over $2 million is currently being traded daily on StockX
daily.
Alone.
Daily.
Daily. $2 million. Once it sells, the seller ships the item to StockX within 2 days. They have to do it within 2 days.
Okay.
And then it's authenticated by StockX itself. They put a little tag on it if the sell is real.
Huh.
The company is owned alongside Quicken Loans. It has now raised over $50 million in investors. It could take on way more, but it's decided to sort of just use their own dough. And they're even opening drop-off locations in London, New York, Los Angeles. So if you sell something, you drop it off, you get the money immediately.
So you never have to worry about something not being real, because if it's sent to StockX and they don't authenticate it, the sale doesn't go through.
Sale ends. I actually had that happen.
Wow.
So I bought a pair of shoes. They shipped it within 2 days. StockX sent me a nice email that said, hey, listen, man, we're not going to send you the shoes. Giving your money back. We're sending it back to seller. We can't authenticate.
That's fantastic.
It's incredible. But the
wow.
best.
Do you know if they have purses?
They have purses and watches. Did you mention the watches too?
She was technically looking at the site already when I said it. But here's the thing, guys. I'm telling you, there's competition out there like Grailed Goat, which was recently purchased by Foot Locker for $100 million, one of their competition. Stadium Goods. This is a business now. Basically finding secondary shoe market. You will be surprised. You'll love it. You'll be like, oh, these look great. And then $150, I'll buy these. It will happen to you. I will start your disease.
Oh,
StockX
no.
is the easiest way to do it at really good prices. And that is my get up on this. Get up, get on up on this. Get up, get on up
on this. Get up, get on up on this. Get up, get on up. Not gonna lie, pretty exciting 7 o'clock hour coming up. Jensen
agreed.
Will do get up on this like he does on Thursdays. Our friend comedian Jimmy Pardo, my closest friend in show business, will be here, and we will bring you a brand new song from the band Bastille. All of that next hour here on the world famous K-Rock.
The headline of the article is Goodbye Handshakes. Some companies considering banning all physical contact at workplace.
I have seen a couple of articles like this recently, and I understand that times have changed and that Allie no longer wants me to slap her on the ass when she walks by in the hall.
Well, just if you're going to do it, focus on different cheeks. Because my right cheek, it's like, okay. Enough.
Or go lower.
Yeah.
I understand that there are people who have taken liberties in the past. And yeah. I think in general that this is a step in the right direction. I think it may also be an overreaction. But I will say that when Total Jobs, whatever that is, they conducted the survey here, found that 3 out of 4 people want all physical contact banned at work. That number shocked me.
Do you think that most workplaces have, you know, if there's 100 people there, there's 5 people that ruin it for all of them?
100%.
It has to be the case, right?
Yeah.
But also, yes. Like, I thought about this when I read the article, and I figured every day we come into work and yeah. we see each other 5 days a week, mm-hmm. and we don't hug or handshake when we come in here because it would be way too much.
Yeah.
There's no right. need for us to do that. So I kind of get that it's overkill. And if I came in every day and went to hug Allie, after a while, you'd be like, this is creepy.
Yeah.
Well, you'd
sure.
hold on. You'd hold on for that 5 seconds that are too long.
He yeah, does sometimes just say, I believe in you.
Yeah. And yeah. I also, when I let go, I just swipe my hand against her face.
It's tender. Yeah. It's tender.
But this happened with that guy from Pixar. Remember with John Lasseter, mm-hmm. when he was working, he was like the head of Pixar, was in charge of all the Toy Stories, all these incredible things.
Yeah, he was a hugger.
And then people used to say they didn't like his hugs. Mm-hmm. And then he got basically pushed out of the company.
Yeah.
So, but I get that we don't do it every day because that
right.
would be insane.
You're right. That is an odd thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about it that way. Here's the newscast on it.
Well, a handshake is a common greeting, especially in the workplace.
But could the gesture become a thing of the past? Hmm. Alexandria Hoff is here with why some employers are considering banning the handshake. Alex?
Well, you know, have you ever been approached with a two-cheek kiss? Well, if you didn't expect it, it's totally awkward. Made worse if that timing is a mismatched, you know, I've been there. It's those kind of greetings that has made companies think twice about physical contact in the workplace.
I only go 4 kisses each cheek. 2 kisses each cheek.
Oh, okay.
Because otherwise, if you're not committing,
yeah,
right?
So where does that leave the handshake?
A survey by Total Jobs found that 3 out of 4 people want all physical contact banned at work.
Is Total Jobs real?
I don't know. It sounds like a sex site, doesn't it? I'm just thinking what kinds of jobs are involved in Total Jobs.
And that's
all
why they would want them to stop.
Were you looking at Total Jobs again?
The idea is to remove confusion over what kind of touch is appropriate. Now some companies are considering whether they should prohibit handshakes.
I think that's going a little too far.
I think it's a show of mutual respect.
If it's professional, 2 shakes, I'm okay with it.
So is a handshake ban realistic?
We would have to rewrite the whole etiquette books.
Etiquette expert Dorlisa Goodrich-Young says a systematic...
We would have to rewrite all the etiquette books.
Hey, guys, what...
Is she real?
Huh? I think she is. She's an etiquette expert. She has 3 names, too, you'll notice. What is considered a problematic handshake? What are they talking about here? Because I think most of us know how a handshake is supposed to work. I mean, is it the president who pulls you toward him for a sweet kiss?
I mean, I would guess that's
when
one
he's
of
handshaking.
Them.
Is that what they're talking about?
Or like a thumb rub, like a handshake, but then the thumb rub up top. That would probably be awful.
Who's doing that?
I don't know.
I mean, some friends.
Okay.
Ban on handshakes doesn't seem likely, but in order to keep it professional, there are some things you need to know.
It is a medium grip. And we meet the web of the other person.
Why are you talking like this and explaining a handshake?
I want her banned from the workplace.
So when we do this, we are really locking the web.
There are a few other big no-nos when it comes to earning respect with the standard U.S. greeting.
Hey, what's up?
As my unsuspecting coworker Alyssa found out, anything longer than 2 shakes is a shake too many.
Now, are we still talking about handshakes?
I'm not sure.
No, we're talking about urinals now. I think
Total Jobs?
Now we're into urinals. What about, and this is a sincere question, this isn't sexually inappropriate, but what about the people who crush your hand with the handshake? And you
yeah,
know,
that's
Kevin,
absurd.
I almost ended up in the hospital that time after
April
Foolishness 1 year. What about that?
Gene's hand is made out of paper mache.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to ban that. Could we do that?
I mean, yeah, the over-aggressive handshake, sure, of
yes.
course.
Yes, I'm made of glass, goddammit.
Totally awkward.
Awkward is what you don't want. You also don't want to position your hand flat on top of a coworker's during a handshake. That can be seen as a sign of dominance. Sorry, Josh.
How long is this story?
Seriously.
Oh, we still have another minute.
So wait, so you're telling me that if I shake somebody's hand and then put my other hand to kind of clasp
oh,
it and
don't
kind
do
of...
that, Bean.
I didn't realize that that was considered inappropriate.
That's
I thought
a disaster.
That was. I thought
yeah.
that was just friendly.
That's like putting a collar and a leash on them.
Especially in business, you want to keep it even.
Even goes for the grip as well.
You don't want to hurt anyone.
Trying to out-tough a coworker, not a good idea.
That's a great tip. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
This is insane. Because, first of all, stupid. I would much rather have a firm grip than a limp, loose handshake.
I'm sorry. Oh,
so we all want different things. This is insane to me.
Is this... I don't remember what channel this is on, but is this on We Have 24 Hours to Fill with this runstory.com?
Not
where
a lot
are you
going
getting
on
this from?
Here.
Still have almost another minute.
Nor is going, as it's called, limp fish.
No.
Not good?
Mm. Not good.
No. When we're in professional environments, we just want to stick with the level playing field.
Frequency to the point, two shakes, and you move on.
Yeah, I get compliments on my handshake all the time, so I feel really good.
Let me just say no one gets compliments on their handshakes all the time.
No.
This is not a thing.
I actually give a compliment. When I get a good handshake.
No, you don't.
I'm like, nice handshake, especially if it's good eye contact, because that is a true sign of someone that knows what they're doing.
Did you recognize her voice?
It's Selma.
Well, since it seems handshakes are here to stay, what if you're not feeling well? Well, Dorlisa says you simply should offer an explanation and an apology of not wanting to spread germs before denying that shake. And what if you do if you're sick
what
and you don't
this?
Want to get someone else sick or you don't want to, you know?
It's very detailed.
Oh, my God.
Advice on how to give a handshake.
White people are insufferable.
This California Strong charity, by the way, has been doing some great work to help the people of Thousand Oaks after the recent 1-2 punch of the fires and the nightclub shooting there. And we're going to be talking to Milwaukee Brewers' Christian Yelich coming up in about an hour from right now on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about how you can get involved this Sunday with a star-studded celebrity softball game. It sounds like a super, super fun event. That is coming up here on K-Rock.
It's time for a Mugs. What are we calling this?
Beer Mug Side Hustle.
Didn't have his mic on. Say again. Beer Mug Side Hustle.
My name is Beer Mug and I need some money because Kevin and Bean pay really tea. Now I'm looking for a side hustle that will make me rich so I can tell Kevin and Bean that I quit this bitch. It's now time for another installment of Beer Mug Side Hustle with me.
Is one of your side hustles doing the worst Jamaican accent ever?
And by worst, you mean best? Why is it a Jamaican accent?
I hope you can get paid for cultural appropriation, because then you're good.
I was thinking about all of Muggs' side hustles, and I think the one that lost him the most money was his brief attempt of being an Uber driver.
Yeah. Well, in that he bought a separate car for that and then
That's
didn't
right.
do it.
That's yeah. right. And then didn't do it. Just right. had two car payments instead. So where are we in the side hustle right now? Are you new and refreshed for 2019, Beer Mug?
I'm ready to go. After such a humongous year of side hustling with the ASMR video, with my mumble rap gig, I mean, Muggos opening up K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Yeah.
And bar mitzvahs.
And bar mitzvahs. Yeah. The mitzvah right. brothers. 2019 has just taken off.
Okay.
And this all is stemming from listener Martin's diss track for
oh,
Muggos.
Okay.
Oh, right.
So he pretty much came at me pretty hard
okay.
after I made mumble rap.
Okay, so I have a clip
yeah.
first of mumble rap
yeah.
and then of his response.
Yeah. yeah.
And then your new side hustle is going to be what?
I'm the best battle rapper in the world.
Oh, oh no. dear.
He's a battle oh. rapper.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he looked right at me when he said
he
it.
He did, yeah.
yeah.
All right, so here's Muggos.
What's up, man? It's Beer Mug.
Beer Mug!
A.K.A. Muggos.
Muggo!
This is my new song called Mumble Rap.
Ha!
I'm about to get it.
Brah!
Looks like you came back for Mo.
Bring it!
I am the star of the show.
Beer Mug!
My belly, I like to show.
Harry!
Flabby and feeling like dope.
Fat ass!
No one can mess with my flow.
Try it!
Jackass, don't try this at home.
Knoxville!
Hate me, but you're the asshole.
Douchebag!
Something that rhymes with asshole.
Finish!
Mumble Rap. Mumbling. This is mumble rapping. Mumbling.
I gotta tell you, you should have retired right then.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was so good.
It was so good.
It's hard to follow that up. But Martin, listener Martin, who is a huge fan of the Kevin and Bean Show, made this pretty good diss track.
Okay.
And, you know, with what better time than to respond and be a battle rapper now that we have Jensen on the show, who
right.
was once the number one battle rapper in Southern California.
Okay, yeah. So he did your response?
No.
Well, you did it.
Yeah, but... But,
so why are you saying Jensen's here?
Well, because he's going to tell me how I did.
I see.
I think it's important for me to hear Martin.
Yeah,
okay.
We got to hear Martin's first diss track.
Here's
yeah.
the diss track. Okay.
Sup, Muggos? Heard your song on K-Rock. Guess you weren't making it a rock world.
Thought you'd give rap a shot, huh? Well, let me put that thought to rest. Yo, muggos, beer mug, whatever your name is. Hope K-Rock keeps you, cause your raps ain't getting famous. Things you say, it's like your mouth shooting farts. You make Bean seem normal, and Kevin looks smart. Your flow was okay, but your lyrics below average. You sound like an even worse 21 Savage. Acting like your queen, and that was your bohemian. We'd rather hear jokes from Armenian comedian.
I mean, really, when he goes Armenian comedian, you're screwed. Yeah. I mean, that's the ultimate.
Pretty hard. So, yeah, you know, he obviously...
I thought it ended there, if I'm going to be honest. Well, I just felt like that was a knockout.
He is obviously a big fan of the show, and right. He had a lot to go on by knowing everything I've done mm-hmm. on the Kevin and Bean show.
Right. That's how you do battle raps.
Right, and I had very little, mind you. All I knew really about Martin is that he lives in Glendale.
Okay.
And he's a better rapper than you.
Right, that both.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
So I went into the lab, sat down... Smoked a couple joints, mm-hmm. took a couple sips of 40s.
Oh, this is definitely going to be a good rap song, then.
Right?
Thank you. And I came with my clapback to Martin's Muggos diss track.
Sup, Martin? I heard your Muggos diss track on K-Rock. I guess you weren't making it in Glendale. Thought you'd give Talkin' Smack a shot, huh? Well, let me show you why I'm the best. Yo, Martin, Marty, whatever your name is your mouth in outer space because you're speaking from Uranus? Yeah, the things I say... They might be dumb, but I do like beats, and I do like playing drums. My flow is sick, yours below average. If Brussels sprouts could rap, you would be sour cabbage. If envy is green, you're St. Patty and a leprechaun. Riding Gumby, picking boogers, smoking out with Cheech and Chong. I've tried lots of diets, but I'd rather drink a six-pack. You went and dissed me, but your insults fell so flat. Your friend should have warned you not to start a war. But bring it, Dr. Martin, it's my pleasure, not a chore. Taco Bell, Burger King, and Panda Express, you forgot to mention Wendy's, you can't even come correct. Don't quit your day job, Martin's diss is weak. Never been to Glendale, I hear the gallery is neat. You're bad, and not the Michael Jackson type of way. Everything you said, I say 50 times a day. I signed up for Uber, and yeah, it was a fail. I should probably never step my fat ass up on a scale. Hearing your diss track was really kind of flattering. I'm doing you a favor by responding to your jabs at me. I'm cringy doing interviews and worse than Dodger Blues. But be honest, Dr. Martin, they all know me, not you. Rather hear your track, I'd rather drink cyanide. I'd rather hear Mama Mutt talk trash my entire life. Rather eat rubber than a double quarter pounder. In the food chain of the sea, I'm a shark, you're a flounder. I hear you talking, Martin, but you're just squawking, Martin. I'm about to crush your dreams cause you ain't Dr. Martin. Try to diss me, emphasis on try to, Martin. I think your diss track should probably just retire, Martin. No matter where you move, from Venice to Santa Monica, I don't want that hug, and I don't want you wishing me happy Hanukkah. I just killed you on your own beat, Martin. And if you're gonna blap blap and pew pew, why don't you do it with a little more gusto, like blap 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 and pew pew pew. Next.
Guys,
Muggles
holy!
I'm
just nervous someone's gonna die. This is how Tupac and Biggie started.
This just got real.
This just got real. We're officially in beef season.
It is beef season.
It turns into sheer delight. Right? Orgasmic jubilation.
Right?
Absolutely breathtaking.
That's great.
As electrifying as a hairdryer.
This is all true,
my friend.
Right?
That was fantastic.
I'm very nervous because he's right in a sense that he has a lot out there.
Right.
Like, it's almost like, you know, it's like a signed rapper doesn't battle just a kid on the street because, like, the kid on the street knows everything about him.
Right.
Right.
He found a way to do it.
Yeah. It was amazing.
It was very good.
I'm going to say I was nervous when you rhymed average and cabbage. But then, I mean, there were moments where I was concerned about Martin's family.
Right?
Yeah.
This is big.
Now, Jensen, you were a great battle rapper at one time.
Yes.
Probably the greatest Jewish rapper of all time, I would imagine.
Not much competition, but I'll take it.
Okay. That's a fantastic technique that Muggs got into, which is to take apart Martin's disses one by one.
On his own beat.
On his own beat,
yeah.
Right.
On his own beat. I mean, that is a technique used to, like Muggo said, to murder him on his own beat.
I
didn't think that at the end of this segment I would say the ball is in Martin's court.
Oh,
yeah!
It's on.
That was another installment of Beer Mug Side Hustle. Don't quit your day job. Blah, blah.
Actor and friend of the show, Nick Frost, joins us just after 7 a.m. this morning. Also a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. And do you guys feel that How Do You Want to Be Buried is a great Friday topic?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Is this, Is this how we want to go into the
Because it's a party,
weekend?
Dean. It's a party.
Oh, it is a party. I didn't realize it was a party. Mm-hmm. First, though, Jensen, I'm so glad you're here. You're going to be our 60 Minutes correspondent on this because I have only seen the headlines on this story. I've dug no deeper, which you know is very difficult for me to do, stay away from not exploring something.
You love being current.
I do like to stay current, but it sounds like you are going to bring all of us up to speed on something that has kind of captivated certain corners of the internet this week.
Yeah, I sat through it so you didn't have to. It was an hour and a half video from YouTube sensation Shane Dawson. Now, Shane kind of came up within the early days of YouTube and really amassed a huge subscriber base.
Did you say an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, it was a bit of a sit.
So it's Black Panther length, basically.
Yeah. It's longer than many Scorsese movies from his early career. So listen, here's what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Shane has created a new series of videos where he dives deep into quote-unquote conspiracies.
Ooh, I'm interested.
And he does it decently well. I'm not sure that it ends as satisfying as his style and technique is. He definitely should have a TV show. I'm not saying I would watch it, but I mean, there's way worse garbage on television. But in,
quite the sell.
In Shane Dawson's defense, though, keep in mind, he has already, and this has only been up for like 48 hours, three days, 20 million views amassed in just those 2 days.
Yeah. Wow.
So you can't get that on television. Mm-hmm. So right. If I was a network and I'm begging Shane Dawson to do something, I'd be like, bro, why would I come to you?
Right.
So here we go. This one that is just kind of all over the press is that he dives into three different conspiracies in an episode, but we're going to focus on one. And that is Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He has a theory about the slices, a full pizza pie, that come to you from Chuck E. Cheese. Let's listen to that theory.
There's a theory that if somebody at Chuck E. Cheese doesn't finish their whole pizza and there's like a few pieces left, the employee will take that to the back, take those pieces off the tray, and form a new pizza with all the other leftovers, and then reheat it and serve it to a new customer.
No! Where would a rumor like that even start?
Well, he said he used to go to Chuck E. Cheese as a kid and always had a small feeling that that was the case. He then shows us photos, and I'm going to tell you, he has a point. He explains what's wrong with the photos.
Well, here is a picture of the pizza Chuck E. Cheese. Every piece is a different size.
That piece is longer than that piece, which is shorter than that piece. These pieces in the back are shorter than those pieces. And none of the pepperonis line up.
Oh,
it's not just this picture. It's almost every picture you find of Chuck E. Cheese pizza. And nobody's talking about it.
Okay. No way. So it's not in a perfect circle. There's like places missing.
Crusts are coming out beyond other crusts.
No.
Like the slice. And also, you know how like a slice, you would lay it out and you would then, you know, use the cutter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The cutter would go all the way through directly to the, you know.
Right, to the other side.
No. They don't match up at all. The slices don't match up. The distances.
No.
There's even small patches of no pizza.
Oh, no.
In the pie. So he's right.
He
also says that there was a rumor he had met a girl during high school who worked there, and she was like, listen, I can't really go on the record, but we have done that before. It's not a practice all the time. And
By the way, that would not surprise me all that much.
Uh-uh. It really would surprise you.
It really would.
Any restaurant would recycle food from another diner's plate?
Yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese,
though. That should stun you.
Chuck E. Cheese, though.
You think they just figure they're dumb kids so they'll never know the difference?
No, I think the parents are distracted watching the kids, and then they get the pizzas. No one pays attention. No one pays attention.
I didn't know that they served alcohol at Chuck E. Cheese. I learned that in this video also.
I have a question.
Now
also,
I want to go there all the time.
Right? As we go back to the clip. Yeah. How did he get Danny Elfman to do the music for the background of his
history? Listen, he's making a bunch of money over there. Side tangent he goes on in the video as well is that Chuck E. Cheese has been run kind of poorly over the past few years. They found themselves in a class action lawsuit from parents who believe that the games at Chuck E. Cheese that were made by the same people who make slot machines are channeling kids to get into gambling.
Is that right?
On top of that, they have a ton of World Star videos online.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's fighting.
Parents fighting. It's crazy.
Is the claw machine rigged there? Do we know that, Jensen?
I mean, I would assume so. You don't want kids running around with dolls of Ren and Stimpy or whatever.
Right.
Very dated reference. Listen, so they go to a Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay.
As soon as they walk in, on the top sign, it says, "Our pizza's made fresh." On top of that, the plates say it. The numbers they give you for the pizza to come out at your table, they also say the pizzas are made fresh. Doth protest too much,
no
in my
kidding.
Opinion. But guess what? When the pizza comes, it's brutal.
It's weird because it looks like it was cooked the same amount throughout.
Whoa.
It's like jagged. I want to see if the cut's... The cut's not even...
I mean, this one is way off.
Wait, okay, let's push it together. Maybe it's an optical illusion. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. Awesome. Thank you.
Dealing with the waitress at the same time. Thank you, thank you. Your pizza's garbage. Is very funny. But yeah, I mean, it does look like they took a lot of jagged slices and then poured a little bit, like sprinkled a little bit of cheese on top of that, then cooked it again. Because
oh,
there's like a little
no.
bit of cheese in between them,
Interesting.
Too.
Interesting.
The pepperonis don't match up. Anyway.
I'm horrified, you guys. I mean, I've never, ever been to Chuck E. Cheese in my life.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm not going to start now.
Let me just say on the other side, what are you expecting from Chuck E. Cheese when you go there?
Well, that's in the video as well.
Okay.
It's like, what do you think you're going to get into? But I mean, recycled pizza is pretty high up there.
Sure, yeah.
They leave the pizza out on another table during cleanup. And it's a great part of the video where the cleanup crew goes over there and cleans everything around it except the pizza, leaving it on the table. it's a very weird moment. But anyway, eventually some fans recognize Shane Dawson because I think it's hard for him to go anywhere and not be recognized at this point. And he talks to one of the waitresses who won't really go on record and say no. She just sort of laughs and kind of walks it off. So they take their pizza home. And they also go to Home Depot at the same time. And they pick out a long... like a blade. So they want to show how the pizza would come together, and let's hear that process.
I think we've proven that these two halves were never together.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is not good. When you line all these up by the tips, I mean, it's crazy. It's actually insane.
And yeah, it doesn't match up. The pizza doesn't match up.
I mean, but don't you know that by looking at it?
Yes, but now once you scientifically get in there, there's humanly no way it matches up.
Got this you. Sounds pretty convincing to me, you guys.
This is his consensus.
So, okay, here's the consensus. I don't know. And I hope it's just an optical illusion.
Are you trying... You think that this was the same pizza the whole time? This is one pizza with just different toppings? Oh, that's what you're trying to say.
I'm trying to prove anything to make it so that Chuck E. Cheese isn't actually doing this. I did not think this was going to happen.
So you watched an hour and a half for the conclusion of I don't know. So
why didn't he just say, I don't want Chuck E. Cheese to sue me?
He did say that a bunch,
okay.
yeah.
Okay.
So much so that Chuck E. Cheese came out yesterday. The claims made in this video about Chuck E. Cheese and our pizza are unequivocally false. No conspiracies here. Our pizzas are made to order and we prepare our dough fresh in restaurant, which means they're not always perfectly uniform in shape, but always delicious.
I'm doubting that.
How could it not be?
Right. I think I'm Team Dawson on this one, you guys.
All you got to do is go to Google, type in Chuck E. Cheese pizzas, and you'll see the pictures. And it's going to be hard to deny, guys. But again, they serve alcohol, so who knows?
So that makes it easier to put down the old pizza.
Yeah, and also you can just push your kids off.
Sure.
I'm looking at the clock, Kevin. I don't think we're going to have
plenty
time.
Of time.
No,
listen.
It looks like we're running kind of late here.
Before the Kevin and Bean show started. Back in 90 when the Kevin and Bean show started, it was not the beginning of Bean's career.
No.
Nor mine, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But Bean, before then, was using the stage name Flash Phillips.
And I feel like I should say again so you don't think I'm a total a-hole.
Well, let's wait until we hear the tape, but go ahead.
It was given to me. I started work at a new radio station, WAVA, in Washington, D.C., and 5 minutes or so before I went on the air... My program director said, what are you going to call yourself? And I said, well, I'm going to use Gene Baxter like I always have. That's my real name. Oh, no, that's not – I can't – no. We need something show busy for the kids. You're going to be Flash Phillips.
Did you say, is there a second option?
Look, it was my first day on the job. I was happy and I felt lucky to have the job. So I was Flash Phillips for 3 freaking years.
Wow.
And I have not – I saw that this tape was posted on some Radio Rewind site the other day.
Yep.
And I listened to 15 seconds of it, Kevin, and then I sent it to you because I said, I don't even want to hear this. I don't even want to hear this.
So Bean talks 3 times as fast as he does now.
Mm-hmm.
He also has giant echo on his voice at all times.
Okay.
And this is Flash Phillips.
WABA, hi.
Hi, I'm trapped here in this teller's booth at this bank until 8 o'clock. I'm kind of bored. This is the station.
Do you mind playing a Bang-A-Gong by Power Station?
Oh, I was just thinking about that record. That would sound good tonight.
Okay.
Nice hot night in D.C., the power station cranking out of the radio. So you say you're in a bank and you're bored?
Yeah, I'm trapped in, like, on one of them photo man booths and
Have you considered embezzlement?
That'd help a whole lot, by the way.
Well, I mean, seriously, it would certainly spice up the evening. Just my advice, sir, but then I'm a known convict. Thanks for the call.
Well, thanks a lot.
Bye now.
Listen to
That's
Flash
a pro,
Phillips.
Man. Flash is a killer.
Right?
I hate it. I hate it so
then he
much.
Then comes out of that song saying,
banging that gun, singing that song off Compact Disc. It's the Power Station. Great album, especially thanks to Andy Taylor, formerly Duran Duran on that one. Some great guitar work there. And Andy, my gosh, is his career happening in a big way or what? First, he was supposed to open for David Lee Roth last fall at the Baltimore Arena.
Listen to the echo. Whatever. Is this crazy?
When does he breathe?
He doesn't. He never did. For like 10 years, he didn't breathe.
He was supposed to open this summer out at Meriwether Post Pavilion for the Psychedelic Furs. He got booted off that tour. For about 2 minutes, he was scheduled to open for Heart this year at Meriwether, and now he's not going to do that either. Meanwhile, his former buddies in Duran Duran played a sold-out house at Madison Square Garden last night. So was that a happening career move or what? Yeah. So there you go. Andy Taylor, folks, now you're in the groove, okay? 432-WAVA is my number. We're taking your votes for the Hot 8-8. On the way, it's a 10-in-a-row power play, including the brand-new song from Madonna that we played first for you this morning with Jim Elliott around 10 o'clock. Also coming up, George Michael's I Want Your Sex and Atlantic Star by Request is next.
Look, Bean, how much cocaine?
Unrelated. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Are you the Micro Machines guy? What is And also, are you recording in a hall? Where are you?
Look, that was the trend back then.
Everybody had that echo. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Guys, first of all, I'm exhausted even hearing
right,
the tape reveal. Second of all, I would so make fun of this DJ.
Oh, of course.
I would so make fun of him. This guy is worse than D's. He's worse than Seacrest.
But you wouldn't have made fun of him when he was him. Like in the 80s?
I guess.
Pretty good.
No, not pretty good.
Listen to the giveaway that the morning show's got going on.
WAVA, Power 105, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara are incredibly wacky, and they're doing it again tomorrow. As it's Free Money Thursday, the Zoo Boys will be handing out instant cash. I can't say this on the radio that it's tax deductible, can I? Well, it's undeclared income tomorrow morning with Don and Mike. $10.50 in cash to the first 105 people that show up with
$10.50.
What
are they going to do with $10.50?
And you don't have to declare it, so that's the good news.
They say to call by, so that's it. All the details tomorrow morning from 5:30 till 10 on Washington's favorite early morning zoo. Right now, by request for everybody, here's George Michael, and I want your...
Was it requested by everybody?
I mean, it was probably a very hot song at that time. Okay, we're out of time.
Hold on, I have a question. How many people show up for $10?
Well, it was to the first 100. Jeez. So I guess a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I mean, we didn't get the follow-up on that, unfortunately.
No.
Yeah. Now he moves on to the 4th of July in Washington, D.C., and what's going on?
Lovely Debbie Gibson, Power 105, WAVA by request. That's Only in My Dreams. New one from the Cutting Crew is standing by. And the new music power playoff in about 20 minutes as Los Lobos, La Bamba.
Listen to the music he's got going, too, man. He's jamming that bed.
Tries to make it four big nights in a row. I'm Flash Phillips at 432-9282. Hi, you're on the air.
I want to know.
Chris Jagger, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Jagger.
Yeah.
Hi, okay, WAVA. Right,
that was my evening competitor. On the other radio station in town,
T107. You were S-talking.
That's exactly what I was. That's Ooh. Who that was, yes.
Wow.
Hi, WAVA.
Yes, sir. I was wondering, do you know who's playing at the 4th of July now?
Well, there is no 4th of July show downtown in terms of pop acts. They have usually some marching bands, stuff like that, but there's no big hoopla like there used to be.
How come? When did this start?
And by the way, he's got this music going, but he'll take forever to talk about the 4th of July and why it's not happening, who's not there, and who was there.
Well, a couple years ago, it got too big. Sir, the last time we did it, when we had everybody and his mother here, and your mom says hello, we had 750.
Can we get Flash Phillips for this show?
Right?
Please stop.
Well, a couple years ago, it got too big, sir. The last time we did it, when we had everybody and his mother here, and your mom says hello, we had 750,000 people down there. So they just decided to scale it down because it cost too much money to clean it up.
That was 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, that's right, sir.
Yes, who was down there?
That was the Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, the Beach Boys, the Oak Ridge Boys,
oh, yes,
Jimmy Page, New Edition. We brought John Lennon back, you recall. I mean, it was a big day. It was a lot of fun, but it was just too big for the city.
So last year was the year they started this stuff.
Exactly. They started the family affair downtown.
Oh, my God.
All right, sir. Well, there you go. Glad to help. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
And I was thinking maybe this year we could get Menudo for the 4th of July, huh? That would be spanking.
I'm sorry.
What?
That would be spanking?
I'm sorry. It would be what, Bean?
You heard it.
And I was thinking maybe this year we could get Menudo for the 4th of July, huh? That would be spanking.
And that was the last time I was ever recorded on tape.
Oh, no, no. It continues.
Oh, please.
No, we're out of time.
No.
Oh, we're not out of time.
Why is it so loud in the background?
It's just how things ran, man.
That whole
this
segment,
is Flash.
That whole segment was like if he worked at City Hall.
It was.
It's, he just gives information.
Forever. So now he makes a Menudo joke and he's getting called on.
WBA, hello.
Am I
asking
a question?
Yeah, sure.
Why are you calling on Menudo?
No, I love Menudo.
No.
You read me all wrong. Menudo's one of my favorite bands. I have all their records. I have posters at home. I went to see him at the Warner Theater. I have a Menudo t-shirt. I swear to you, I'm not lying.
Okay, do you know anything? Are they coming here in concert August 1st?
I don't know. They're still trying to break in the new guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what that entails. You know, a weekend at their farmhouse in Connecticut, maybe, with a horse. I don't know, but no, just a joke. We'll let you know the minute we hear anything. We are your official Menudo station. You know that.
Okay, I'll remember that.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. She bought it.
That was incredible. That was really good.
God.
Flash killing it.
I'm telling you, he does kill it.
Is it possible the new guy was Ricky Martin, by the way?
Huh.
Is it possible? Does timing-wise, does that work out? I don't know.
How long has it been since you've made a sex horse sex with a horse joke?
Yeah, I don't do that anymore. All right, that's the end of that tape.
One more clip, and I just like...
Come on.
WBA Power 105 with far and away the most tunes in Washington. Nobody else even's come close. I'm Flash Phillips, and I got a great new song, Who's That Girl? The latest from Madonna.
Madonna. And you know what Madonna is?
That would be spanking.
Dr. Drew agreed to come on to talk about this topic.
Dr. Drew loves us and loves our topics.
He's takes the absolute them best.
Very seriously.
Hey, Doc. Hey, Doc.
I hate your topics that you asked me to address.
I'm sorry, you just came in just right after our topics. Do you love them?
I love you, and I'll take your topics.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We saw this story this week. It was all over the internet. Gas can leak out of your mouth if you hold it in. And it seems like it's based on actual research that you shouldn't try to stop your farts from coming out because they might somehow get absorbed somehow into your circulation and come out your mouth. And we just thought that was too gross and too weird to be true. Do you believe it, Doctor?
Well, let's just say it doesn't pass the sniff test.
Ah! you even stayed away from the word smell.
Have you ever smelled someone's mouth smell like a fart or methane gas? I mean, there's bad breath, but that is anaerobic bacteria that's produced in the back of your tongue. A fart smell is methane produced by bacteria in your gut.
So what happens if you hold it in too long, Dr. Drew? Where does it go?
It can absorb. There can be some absorption of it. It can sort of, but then it gets incorporated into other molecules. It's not as though it comes out as a gas. This is what people get.
Dr. Drew, we read this on the internet. For God's sake.
Did you miss that part? My mom shared this on Facebook.
Right.
I get it has to be true. It has to be.
Right.
But people have very strange ideas about what happens to things once they get absorbed into our bloodstream. Believe me, there's not a connection between your colon and there is a connection between your colon and your mouth. Frankly,
so.
We're just one giant tube.
Right.
But things don't get back up through the small intestine. They can't.
That is not sexy. So, we're just one giant tube.
look, I don't know what you call yours, Allie, but that's what Dr. Drew calls his. So you're saying that regardless of how many prestigious websites and articles we saw on the internet on this, that you're saying the science does not hold up, that you cannot fart out of your mouth if you hold it in.
I'm saying the notion is flawed. I'm saying that the gas can reabsorb to some degree, but it's not as though it comes out of your mouth in the same form it was reabsorbed.
All right. That is thing one. And I know you're thinking, I dodged that bullet. It wasn't as bad as I thought. Thank God I can get off the phone and go back to my real life. But here's thing two. The Daily Mail posted an article this week about apparently a thing that is happening called peegasms. there are people who there are women who claim that they are achieving orgasm by urinating after holding it in. Releasing the urine at that point when your bladder is overfilled is said to cause shivers from the spine to the head. It's a bizarre new sex trend. Could there be anything to this, Dr. Drew?
Well, let's just first say that when things want to come out of your body, you need to let them come out, whether it's a sneeze or urine or a fart, whatever it might be.
Wherever you are, just let it go.
Yes. Generally, let's agree those things need to come out. So I'm not advocating holding your urine. You can get urinary tract infections. It can be a real problem. You can have issues. But this is not a new phenomenon. This has been well known for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to talk about it. We used to talk about it on Loveline all the time.
Really?
And there's sort of two aspects to it. One, because people would call in and say, this happened to me. And we go, they were sort of freaked out. They thought they were broken. And there's another phenomenon that for some women, if they hold urine, they can intensify their orgasm. But that usually doesn't upset people. And again, not good for you. More towards urine infection that way. But in terms of the pegasm thing, those tend to be women that are already highly orgasmic, like they sort of prone to multiple orgasms anyway. And this is just another sort of way of activating and sort of, morning radio, influencing that part of your body.
Okay. Or as I like to call those women, lucky as hell, right? He's with me.
I'll tell you what, it's when you talk to those women, they're very disdainful of other women who have difficulty with orgasm because they can't understand what your problem is because it's so easy for them.
Well, tell them to shut up.
Really,
right? Stop bullying.
I do.
But doctor, help me out with the human body aspect of this. What does the bladder have to do with whatever the part of a woman's body produces orgasms? Because I don't really believe women have orgasms, so I'm just putting it out there because
just from
most people do.
You don't know.
From experience, right. But what does the bladder have to do with this? What does it press against?
I understand you've never seen one in real life.
Right, exactly.
In nature. But essentially, first of all, you're constricting the muscles there, which is some people need that as a sort of a precursor to orgasm, some women. Also, there's a lymph, as you increase the pressure down on the bladder, there's increasing arousal. Men wake up in the morning with arousal, right? So some of that is a spinal reflex, and some of that is blood and lymphatic sort of engorgement, let's say.
Okay.
That make sense?
Yeah, but where does the pee come in?
Because you're holding in the pee, you're constricting your walls down there, if you know what I'm saying.
Think of what happens to you. Think about morning and men. Morning and men,
sure,
right?
Right.
Yeah, I pole vault out of bed.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
This is the worst day.
All right, so you're saying farting out of the mouth is a no. Pegasm is possible. It happens with people, but you don't recommend it. That's the takeaway.
I don't recommend it, and if it happens to you, you're not broken.
Okay, fair enough. See, this is why we go to Dr. Drew. Who else could possibly give us this good advice, right? DrDrew.com is where you want to go for all the great podcasts.
He lets us know we can't fart out of our mouth.
Including the Dr. Drew podcast, the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast, the Swole Patrol with Mike Catherwood, and the new Dr. Drew After Dark with Tom Skerr, which is great. The current episode of Andy Dick is well worth your time.
Dr. Drew, come on.
Passing out.
The radio show is 790 KBC from noon till 3 in the Heal app on App Store or Google Play. See a doctor now in the comfort of your home. Thank you so much, Doc, for the time. Have a great week. We'll do it next Thursday.
And always just so proud after I leave you.
Right.
Guys.
Hey, Billy, on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin Devine Show for a Thursday morning. You guys, it happened again. Somebody had to cut off his own leg.
It happened again.
It happened again.
Old classic story.
All the time. I can't turn on the news without seeing somebody have to amputate something.
I'm getting sick of it.
I want you to hear the story from Kurt Kaser's mouth himself. He's in Omaha, Nebraska. He is a farmer who just made a simple mistake and was faced with that decision about cutting off his own leg. And we'll talk about whether you could do it. I'm telling you right now, I couldn't.
Unloading corn and into a bin. We were moving corn and taking from one place to the other.
63-year-old Kurt Kaser has been a grain farmer for more than 40 years, but it was one simple mistake that could have cost his life.
By the way, this dude is incredibly chill through this entire interview as he is describing what has to be the most harrowing experience of his life.
You'd hope.
It's yes. It's unbelievable how laid back he is telling the story, that a story that ended up with him amputating his own leg.
If I could have got by that first load, unloading, I think I'd have thought of it or seen it. But I was in that routine like I always used to do, and I didn't think of it.
He says he stepped out of his truck, turned around the corner,
and stepped in the hopper in that little hole.
By the way, I have been made fun of many times on this show for talking about putting things in the hopper.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the hopper is a real thing, and it's a piece of farm machinery that that corn goes through. And that's what this dude stepped into.
It just sucked my leg in, and I was trying to pull it out, and it kept pulling.
And there was no one around to help.
When it first happened, I can remember telling myself, this ain't good. This is not good at all.
He's quick deduction there.
Is it a little bit of an understatement?
Yeah.
So picture it. So your leg is in the hopper, okay, which mm-hmm. is just basically a big hole where the grain's supposed to go, and it's stuck. You have tried, obviously, to pull it out, and you can. And you feel that it is sucking you further in.
Oh, geez.
Like a corn quicksand.
Exactly. Uh-huh. It has to be unbelievably terrifying, as you can hear in his voice.
Yeah. his blood pressure, I can hear it even now.
Yeah, he has to. Obviously, he still hasn't recovered from the drama.
No.
Kayser couldn't find a cell phone to call anyone, his desperation growing.
I thought, how long am I going to stay conscious here? Mm-hmm. You know, because I didn't know what to expect. And then I felt it jerk me again. I thought, well, I was going in and they're going to grab me and pull me in further.
And he was left with just one option.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Eat through the corn.
It's you, Allie. You're left with that one option. Can you do it?
I cut off my leg.
Mm-hmm.
From what? The what part?
It looks like, based on the stump, it looks like it's just below the knee.
Ooh.
With a penknife.
Yeah, that's also a concern.
What's a
penknife? Yeah, I do need to know what that is, because weapon-wise, if I mm-hmm. have like a machete,
yeah, yes. just one chop,
I think I could do yeah. it. But if yeah, you're saying I have, you know, like a corn on the cob end, and I have to just slowly stab oh, fast no. on my leg, I probably won't do it.
That's what he has to do. He has to. He has a little. I mean, he has a penknife in his pocket.
Wait, explain what I'm. Both Allie
is
and
that
I
are, like a Swiss Army knife?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Stop no, saying yes. pen knife. No yeah. one says pen knife.
Well, that's what it's called. Okay.
All right.
I would so, not. Yeah. I would not do this. I would. So, I just call it a day.
So you have to not only cut through the skin, but then obviously the tendons and the muscle. And at some point, and I don't know how it works with bone. I can't imagine you can even cut through the bone. I would think you'd have to reach down and just pull the bone out okay. of the socket.
Good morning, everyone.
Well, this is what I'm saying. This is the decision that's ahead of him, and I'm asking, Allie, man. Do you just die? Do you just wait to get sucked into that machine or pass out from the pain? Or are you able to make that first cut?
Rest in peace, Allie.
Rest in peace, Bede. How about yeah. you, Jensen?
I'm calling it a day because of the knife. I would be fine with a strong, you know, Cutco, the one that goes through a rope that people try to sell you in high school.
Okay. Yeah.
I'd be yeah. fine with that. But
with
I think
proper tools, you'd be able to do it.
Yeah, you give me like a plastic knife. It's nothing.
I can't even imagine. And by the way, they don't say anywhere in the story, and I'd love to know how long it took him to take off his own leg. But he has no other choice. He can't reach a phone. He's out there all by himself on the farm. Let's hear more.
When I had my pocket knife in my pocket, I thought, well, the only way I'm getting out of here is cut it off. So I just started sawing on it.
Mm. He amputated his own leg.
When I was cutting it, the nerve endings, I could feel them just ping every time I'd start sawing around that pipe.
I want you to think about the nerve endings.
Oh,
anyway.
Man.
Jesus.
Who's hungry?
I couldn't do it. This dude is 63 years old. He's in Omaha, Nebraska, and he's able to do it, and he's so chill about it.
I know. He's wow. talking like the same way I do if I have a hangnail.
You yes!
know what I mean? I'm like, oh, I'm just going to get a Band-Aid real quick and fix it up and maybe cut it off with a little cuticle cutter. It's just like the casual.
And all once it went and let me go, so I got the heck out of there.
He then army crawled 150 feet across the farm.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh, this man.
So when he says he got the heck out of there, yeah, you heard what that involved. It involved him crawling back to the house to make a phone call. How do you not bleed out?
Yeah, that I don't get.
Not only bleed out, pass out, anything
yeah.
that would have ended this.
Yes, not just the loss of blood, not just the pain, but just the stress.
Also the shock, yeah.
And shock. Yeah.
It's unbelievable he was not found laying with one, you know, with half of one leg missing, just right there, you know, dead in his driveway.
Yeah,
incredible.
I stubbed my toe and army crawl down this down near the stairs to where Danielle is. I'm like, can I make it?
Right.
He then army crawled 150 feet across the farm to the nearest phone to call for help.
I stayed conscious all the way to the hospital. I remember I'm being unloaded up here.
Guy's a superhero, by
Absolutely.
The way.
Absolutely.
Stay conscious.
Despite what happened, Kaser's occupational therapist, Danny Willie, says his attitude has been extremely positive.
I ain't too bad.
Pretty nonchalant about everything that actually happened, like it was no big deal.
It is what it is. Make the best of it is all you can do.
I mean, it is what it is, you guys.
Wow.
I just cut off my old leg. It is what it is. How do you stay so nonchalant about this?
Weed, probably.
Maybe weed.
I can't. I don't even get this guy. Corn?
I mean, I would never.
Yes, corn.
Yeah. The band. I meant the band.
Oh, he listens to a lot of corn? Yeah, okay, yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
I would never stop, and this is not to my credit to admit this, but I would never stop being so mad at myself and feeling so sorry for myself and just not being able to accept it. This dude has already moved on, can't wait for the wound to heal enough so that he can get his prosthetic and get back on the farm. All he wants to do is get back and start you know, harvesting wheat again.
Not corn.
No, it's probably...
Or corn. or corn, right.
Make the best of it is all you can do. I mean, it could have always been worse. I paid the price here of being in a hurry and not paying attention, basically.
That's all it is. I just wasn't paying attention, you guys.
Wow, God bless this guy.
God bless him.
The trooper.
Yeah. Kurt Kaser. We call him Hoppy, but well done. That's the voice many of our newer listeners will not recognize. His name is Kevin Ryder. He is new to the show, and we're delighted to welcome him to the Kevin and Bean Show. You almost died on holiday?
I mean, it's possible. Hmm. Here's what I'll say, and then okay. I'll tell you about it next.
Okay.
I was not just considering maybe I'm going to die, 100% knowing I was going to die.
Wow.
Oh. 100%.
Like me on the train tracks in Norway that time.
Sort of, yes.
Where I was counting the seconds until that thing hit me. All right.
Bean was in a train, like, tunnel on a bicycle or something?
Yeah.
And the train was coming the opposite way, and there was just enough space for him.
Oh, yeah, I was very close. I was convinced I was dead.
Did you, like, suck in your stomach? And
oh, yeah.
That's like what a cartoon.
I did. Yeah. All right, so Kevin will tell his story coming up next here on K-Rock. First, though, welcome to Is It Racist?
Can you help me out? 'Cause I have no clue. Is it racist? I don't know. Do you? Is it racist? Come on and let me know. Let's all find out on the Kevin and Bean Show. Is it racist? Is it racist? Is it racist? Come on and let us know.
That's a peppy little song for Is It Racist?
Yeah. I asked Noah if he could do a hip-hop version, and he said, no, that would be racist. So we're learning as we go. Look, we're a bunch of white guys and gals, so we're not the ones to decide. That's why we invited you, the African-American listeners of the Kevin Bean Show, to call in. All the phones are busy, so here's the story, and then we'll go to you, and you can tell us what you think. Gayle King actually stirred up this controversy on her Instagram.
Okay.
She put up a photograph of O Magazine, which, as you know, is Oprah's magazine, of their creative director named Adam Glassman. Now, in the photo, he is wearing a sweatshirt. He's a white guy. Mm-hmm. He's wearing a sweatshirt that says, "Black don't crack." Okay?
Okay.
We've all heard that expression because African-American people are so lucky that you can't tell if they're 30 or 70 because somehow...
Yeah, white people are incredibly jealous of that.
We get very wrinkly and very saggy, but black people look fantastic as an older person, right? So he's a white guy wearing a black don't crack shirt. Now, again, he's working for Oprah. He's working at O Magazine, which is a predominantly African-American work environment, but he is a white guy and he is wearing it. So Gayle King says she loves the sweatshirt, but she asked her followers to weigh in on whether it was racist or not. Can he pull it off? Should he be allowed to wear that sweatshirt? And there were thousands of comments, lots of different opinions. Some were in favor of the choice, saying he can wear it even though it doesn't apply to him. Others were saying he can wear it as long as he can explain it. Which, by the way, seems like a very dangerous area. It's like Dave with his NWA
shirt. Yeah.
Sure. He couldn't exactly stop everybody that saw him and say, no, I love the band. It's not racist. I love the band. So grass is green, water is wet, the Pope is Catholic, and black don't crack, one follower said, with the hashtag the facts of life. So opinions all over the place. I don't know what to think about this. It seems to me like it could definitely be problematic, him showing up at work like that, like he's sort of pretending to be one of his black fellow employees, and he clearly isn't. So we thought we'd take it to the listeners. Let them help us know, is it racist?
Is it racist?
All right, let's start with Larry. He was first in on line one, Woodland Hills. Larry, thank you so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you today, my friend?
What's up, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, we're glad you called. You heard the story. He's a white employee working for Oprah's magazine wearing a sweatshirt that says black don't crack. Are you comfortable with that or no?
Well, is there a little fine print on the bottom of that statement that says facts?
That says what, facts? Hello? I don't know what happened.
Larry?
All right, so that doesn't count one way or the other.
Larry died. That's
no
very
vote.
Sad.
We lost Larry.
No vote.
Or Oprah took him out. I don't know. How about Brian Long Beach up next? Hey, Brian, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, Joe?
You heard
Love
the story.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate it. You heard the story. What do you think? Black don't crack. Okay for a white dude to wear it or not?
I think it's cool for a white dude to wear that. But I think it also would have to be in certain situations. Like, I wouldn't wear it to work just in case he would offend somebody. That's a whole different era.
Right, but he was at Oprah, so...
Yeah. He works in a predominantly African-American environment. We assume that he is friends and friendly with all the people that he works with. I mean, he has a pretty senior position in the magazine. Does that make a difference to you?
No, it doesn't, because it's still a workplace. I mean, certain things you wouldn't wear. You wouldn't wear an NWA t-shirt to work.
All right, so yes or no? Are you saying yes? It's racist?
I'm saying yes, outside of a work environment where you wouldn't have to deal with the question that you're asking right now.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. All right. So we're going to put him down for a yes for racist at work.
But I mean, environment, yeah.
Very good, Brian. Thank you. Javier up next. He is on line three. Now, are we accepting Javier as a black man?
Nope.
That's racist.
That
right
is
there.
Racist. Yeah, that's racist.
Javier, what's your last name? Martinez?
It's Leon, actually.
Ah, okay.
Oh, okay. So you're... All right, I won't even delve into it any deeper.
I'm not black, but, you know, I look more black than I do Hispanic.
Oh, we'll accept it. Oh, yeah, we'll take it.
Okay, all right. You can be an honorary African-American even though you're not. All right, black don't crack. What say you, sir?
Sounds good. You know, it depends on the context. Just like Brian was saying, I think, before, I think it depends on where in the setting where you're wearing it. If it's a bunch of like, white people, you kind of got to question and be like, what kind of crack are they talking about?
Oh.
You know?
Oh. Right. Yeah, but he works at Oprah magazine.
Yeah, I think in that case, I'd say no, because it's
not
somebody
racist.
Who I would assume is conscious and has, you know, a good understanding of where he is, and I'm not going to take anything wrong with that in that scenario. But I'd give a no.
All right.
Okay, you say no. All right. Thank you for the call.
One yes, one no.
Let's do one more. Let's make it the tiebreaker, and let's make it a lady. This is going to be Erica Sherman Oaks up next. Erica, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you today?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Popo Zhao.
Popo Zhao to you. You get the final vote.
Yeah, it is. Racist has a negative or positive connotation. I believe
it does?
In a positive, yes, it can.
How can it be positive? It can be positive racist? Because you say Asians are good at math. That's a positive thing that you're saying, but it's a racist thing to say. I think that's what Erica said.
A perfect example. It is racist. Like the gentleman was saying at the top of the conversation, he was asking about the portion at the bottom. Does it say facts? It's a fact that black don't crack. And the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
That too. That's what his shirt should have said.
That being the case, while it might... It's kind of like stereotypes, only racist has a more negative connotation. So if you're taking a negative connotation, it's negative. But it is also the truth in as much as it is a true statement.
All right, I'm trying to figure out whether you're voting yes or no.
It is a vote of No, because I'm going to go with the positive. Yes. It is not racist.
Not racist. Okay. All right. Well, I'm ordering mine right now.
No, you're not.
As a Jew, I'm good with numbers. So I'm going to say it's not racist.
Not racist.
Yeah.
All right, Erica, thanks so much for listening. This has been Is It Racist?
Is it racist? Is it racist? Is it racist?
As you know, here at the Kevin and Bean Show, we tackle the biggest issues of life.
Yeah.
And we already killed Valentine's Day. We took care of that.
And on Friday, we started having an argument about Flaming Hot Cheetos.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos! I love you so much!
And I got to tell you, I was thinking about this. You know, Corolla is famous for being able to complain about anything.
Right.
I don't know how Jensen is able to find anything wrong with hot Cheetos because they are very nearly perfect.
I love. That's not the problem. I love hot Cheetos. I think they might be the best snack on the rack, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
My problem is, and this is very real, I don't want anyone to think that I'm doing this for the radio or anything like that. As someone who has OCD, one of my bigger issues is that I don't like food on my hands. Mm-hmm. So barbecue, stuff like that, that I love. I love barbecue. Might be my favorite food. But the issue...
You put on gloves?
I would love to put on gloves. That would be a dream for me. I don't enjoy food on my hands. I'm always wiping after every... pretty much after every usage of it.
Like, right.
Like,
so if you eat one Flaming Hot Cheeto, you have to
100%
clean your hands.
And
I am very much like Jensen, as you guys know. We've talked about many times me using a knife and fork for pizza, for sandwiches, for lots of things, because I don't like food on my hands either.
Yeah, chicken wings, stuff that I love that stuff. It's just that I can't find myself without 100 napkins next to me. And I've been that way since I was 9 years old. Like, that's just, I don't like food on my hands. Flaming Hot Cheetos is a GD nightmare. It is a disaster for hands, a disaster for fingers.
Okay.
It doesn't, and not only that, what your argument was the other day is that it goes away with washes.
Right.
That is not true.
This is the part that fascinates me, because it really does.
No, it doesn't. It definitely does not. And
you're saying even after you wash your hands, you still have Flaming Hot Cheeto residue on your fingers.
There will be a red coloring that stays on your fingers. And if you have problematic cuticles or under your fingernails, if it can get to that spot, they will stay there for a small amount of time. Also, if you were to pick up anything white when you have that on, small amounts of it do show up on the white for a decent amount of time.
Oh, and you know how it is with Jensen. Everything has to be pure white or he hates it.
Dad, don't bring in them black towels.
So we didn't understand the whole idea that it wouldn't come off just by washing your hands. I don't even get that.
No.
He's eating some hot Cheetos now. I'm going to join him.
Don't ever tell me that I haven't done something for this show, because this is me putting my hands on Cheetos right now is a disaster.
Well, you're rubbing your fingers on these hot Cheetos.
Only to rush the process.
Okay.
Because I can't have a lot in the segment. But say that I have a half a bag.
Okay.
I'm going to be touching them a decent amount. Mm-hmm. And also, I've put them in plates.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine putting your hand into the bag.
Oh, like an animal.
It then will come off on your hand.
What are you, a bear?
Actually, I am. But imagine putting your hand into the bag and then getting all of it on your way back. Now, number one, as you can see now,
yeah.
What other food do you know?
He's like a magician.
He's holding up his hands so we can see his fingers.
What other food do you know that leaves hands this? It looks like I've painted something for you.
All right, here's what I do.
Oh, I'd love to do that for you. I'd love to do that for you.
You're barely doing
it. No, I'll do it hard.
All right.
Whoa, very intense ring.
The bell's going down.
It is still there.
I do see the residue.
It is still there, still on my hands. So now I'll use this white towel. So now imagine a towel at your house. I understand paper towel is probably smarter, but let's go over this just towel. Number one, this is insane. This looks like a clown wiped their face off.
there's a lot of Cheeto residue.
There is so much Cheeto residue on there. Now, I've wiped my hands. I'm not doing it soft, just so everyone sees I'm doing it hard. It is still on my fingers.
Right, because you haven't washed your hands
yet.
Okay,
so I have some water here.
All right.
Oh, my God, I can't.
Yeah. You came prepared, guys.
Yeah, do it over the carpet. That's
By
perfect.
The way, I'm like Mr. Wizard. I put water on my hands, and now I'm going back to the towel, which, by the way, again, this is insane. This can't happen
it
on normal
food. It does look like you're cleaning up a crime scene.
It does. And then back to my hands. It is still, I know it's minimal, but it is still there on the top.
Right.
Of the finger as Kevin continues to snack.
Kevin is eating your entire bag of Cheetos just while you're talking.
Now, I have washed my hands in front of you. I have wiped my hands in front of you. I have left a towel, honestly looking like, look at this.
I mean, it's got a little residue.
This looks
on
like, what's her name? Adina Day? Audra Day? This looks like Audra Day wiped her face. This is an insane amount of. I had six of them.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problematic snack by all.
Okay,
but you love it.
I think it's one of the best snacks in the world.
How do we change this for you?
So, I'll let go.
So
we have a listener that has an idea.
Oh,
too.
I'd love to have line two. I'd love to have that.
Okay, Andrew in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hi, Allie.
Hi.
Yeah, we covered that.
Good morning is covered.
Yep, I just want to mention you guys, Jensen, I'm Asian. I eat Cheetos with chopsticks.
And by the way, I have chopsticks next to me, and I appreciate Andrew because I think he's right. I've never done it before, but I do think what a dream this would be. Also, I want to throw out that with my hands, getting it near my mouth, I think that this is such a problematic thing that I think it leaves red marks around your mouth even. If even the small amount of red residue gets around your mouth,
right?
Yeah, it leaves DNA, is what I'm saying. But now I'm going to try it with a chopstick. I'm using it right now. Mm-hmm. This looks like a pretty good solution.
It does. It does.
Just like that.
With the chopsticks, you can clear your lips pretty well.
Clear your lips.
You
exactly.
can clear your lips.
He's 100% right. That's why I bring it up. And I can.
Andrew, do you have OCD?
I don't, but I hate chopstick residue. Doritos residue on my fingers. It's a mess and it's sticky. And
he's right.
Not wrong.
It's
not
problematic
wrong.
If you're eating them at work.
It just isn't that.
he's dead right.
You don't want to get thumbprints, orange thumbprints on your documents.
Guys, what other snack do you all know right. that makes it look like you murdered your wife?
Right? Let's try Francisco East LA. I think he's going to give you nightmares with what he's calling in to say.
All right. Hold, please. Francisco, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning.
Good. Thank
you. What do you have on the hot Cheeto controversy?
I have the perfect answer for you.
Okay.
So you go to these Mexican snack places anywhere in LA, mm-hmm. And they serve you hot Cheetos with nacho cheese, and they give you a fork.
That's great. That's a great idea.
Doesn't a fork break it apart?
Well, the cheese just disintegrates in the hot Cheeto, but it's still amazing. The kicker is the nacho cheese. If you haven't had hot Cheetos with nacho cheese, you haven't lived.
That sounds pretty strong.
It does sound
strong.
It sounds great, yeah.
But that doesn't help you if you're just at home and all you have is a bag of Cheetos, right?
No, I'd have to find a Mexican store near my house.
Exactly.
But I'm willing to make the trek.
I see the love you have for the food, and that's why you're willing to go through so much of it. But you're going to have to accept that you're going to have Cheeto dust on your hands. It's going to go with it. It's like being a coal miner. You can't go down there and work all day and not come out with a little dust.
Very similar to coal mining.
It is,
good
by the way.
Lord.
I just want everyone to know that if you see me at like Acoustic Christmas or if you see me at like April Foolishness and you shake my hand and I leave behind residue on your entire outfit, please understand it's hot Cheetos and it's because you people aren't willing to transform and bring chopsticks with you when you're ready to snack.
And I would like to add that finally, thanks to this segment, I now know why my penis is always orange. Less than 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the Naked Magicians will be here. Yes, you heard me right. They are magicians who perform naked. They are Australian and a lot of fun, so stick around for that coming up just after 9. First, though, Allie. Something came out of Celebrity Big Brother that is actually worth talking about. I never thought I would say that because we mostly just ignore that horrible show.
Right.
But apparently they kind of made some news this week.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan's mom, Dina, is on the show competing on season 2 of Celebrity Big Brother.
Is she a celebrity?
I'll give it to her.
She's related to one who used to be a celebrity, but does that make her a celebrity?
I mean, in the Celebrity Big Brother world, the bar is very low.
Okay.
So she's on, and she opened up to her housemates about her, unique relationship with a special someone. She said to her housemates, "I can't wait to tell you about this guy. I've been talking to him for 5 years, like every day, a lot. I feel like I know him." She then goes on to explain that she has yet to meet him because he lives in San Francisco, real far, and he's taking care of his mother. And by the way, you guys, he doesn't have a phone that can do FaceTiming to video chat. So for 5 years, she's been talking to this guy, and they've never seen each other face-to-face, let alone on a FaceTime.
This
face-to-face.
Sucks too, because I've always considered Dina Lohan very smart, and this feels as if she's being bamboozled.
Yes. Yeah. So Allie, her housemates obviously are like, "Dude, you're being catfish. What are you doing?"
100%.
And Tamar Braxton even offered to go with her to San Francisco to finally meet the man of her dreams. It's insane, you guys.
If you had told me this had been going on. Not even for 5 months. If mm-hmm. this had been going on for 5 weeks
yeah.
and right. they were talking every day and right. had not FaceTimed or Skyped, right. I would find it hard to believe.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
there are people on that catfish show who think they're talking to, like, Usher. You know what right. I mean? Like, these people are stupid
yeah.
and dumb, and they basically get what they ask for, really.
Right, but Dina Lohan has been around show business, and she's been around, I mean, she's 50-something years old. I feel like she should not be falling for this. And if I'm reading these quotes correctly, there's no doubt in her mind that this is a real relationship. Mm-hmm. And she even says that she will marry this guy.
Yep. Yeah. She said, "He's real. I swear it's crazy, but I'm going to marry him. It's really true. I talked to his ma." Okay. Or you talk to some lady or him mm-hmm.
with a voice.
Putting a voice on. It's just the fact that she hasn't even seen him on FaceTime is insane to me.
I mean, this is a woman who gave career advice to her daughter, too.
Very true.
Does it say anywhere whether he has a Facebook page? Like, does she even know what he looks like? Or is he just somebody who just doesn't use computers at all and that's his way out?
It doesn't say, because I do not watch Celebrity Big Brother to get
of
to
course.
The bottom of this.
Yeah, I mean,
of
that's
course.
Good for you.
But I would assume, wouldn't you assume she's at least seen a picture of him? Or a
After
picture
five
of whoever
years?
He
yes.
decided to send. It's cuckoo. It's cuckoo, you guys.
I think this might be an area where we have some listeners with some experience.
Yeah.
Where you were involved in an internet relationship, and it went a long time mm-hmm. before you either FaceTimed mm-hmm. or met in person.
Yeah.
And I would be very interested to hear your story on how it turned out. And the number is 1-800-520-1067. And how much of what was said in those pre-meeting conversations turned out to be true?
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, how long did you go?
Yeah.
This 5 years.
That's
like, I could imagine
amount.
Someone, like, staying on the hook for a little bit
mm-hmm.
and just saying, like, oh, I believe it, you know, or maybe I don't believe it, but I'm willing to play this out. 5 years.
Yeah.
They've seen an Olympics together.
They've lived through two presidential administrations.
Yeah. This
5 years.
Long.
How long? I mean, Allie, mm-hmm. you're single. If you had a friend in another city that mm-hmm. was starting to turn into what you thought was, hey, we're kind of dating mm-hmm. right now, even though we haven't, how long would you go before you made some sort of plans to get together?
I can answer that question because
okay.
this happened with a gentleman that lived in the UK. And we started talking, then it got to us talking, texting every day, then calling every day. And then, give it 3 weeks tops before you're FaceTiming. And then if you're talking every day and you don't have plans to see each other within 3 months, mm-hmm. you're never meeting that person.
No, yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Granted, you got great conversation, great chats. You meet that person. There's no sexual chemistry. What a waste of 6 months. that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, 3 months sounds yeah. about on the outside of when
yeah.
you get. And by the way, I would say less time for somebody who lives in Los Angeles dating
oh.
somebody who lives in San Francisco.
100%.
At least you had schedules to worry about
but
with him having a job and you having a job.
We're not even thinking about 2019, guys. I wouldn't let, when I was single, if I was talking to someone that I had never seen, I would not let 3 weeks go by without a FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the end of the deal. After
yeah.
that, you're not talking to them anymore. You think something's wrong.
Right. Something's up.
Something's going on. They're homeless. Or they live in their car.
They're married. Right.
I don't know why homeless was first for me.
Not sure either.
No.
They're using a voice box, and it's really a guy, your neighbor.
Yeah.
What?
It's really weird that Dina Lohan would bring this up in Celebrity Big Brother, although granted you have 24 hours a day to hang out with these people and nothing else to
right.
do.
Yeah, I mean, if she thinks she's dating, I'm 5 years.
She
yeah.
thinks she'll marry him.
Yeah, she thinks this is her boyfriend.
Yeah.
But she had to know that there would be pushback on that, right? She had to know that most people were not going to look at that as normal or possibly.
No, she's convinced herself that it's normal, so why wouldn't others?
Although, honestly, I have seen interviews with Michael Lohan, and I would rather date a fake person. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't have a pedigree that doesn't allow for catfishing.
Yeah.
All right, so this is what we're looking for. You guys met on the internet, and it developed into texts and phone calls, but you didn't FaceTime, or you didn't meet him. Or her. That's what we're looking for here. How long could something like this go on? I don't think we're going to find anybody 5 years in, like Dina Lohan here, but we want to hear your story. How long did it take before you guys finally saw each other? How long did it take before you guys finally met each other? And did it work out? Did everything that you heard happen to be true? That's what I'm interested in. 1-800-520-1067. Quick break. Your call's next on K-Rock. How long are you in a so-called relationship that is only email, text, or talking on the phone before you start to realize, hey, maybe I mean catfish. There's a reason I'm not seeing this person on FaceTime. There's a reason I'm not meeting this person in person. That's what we're talking about at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Leanne? She's in HB. Sounds like she went through this not that long ago. Hey, Leanne, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
Hi. Yeah, it was actually like, I'm 35, so it was when I was 18, and it was on AOL back back in the day.
Well, technology has changed a lot. There were some impediments to seeing people back then.
Yeah, it was a little more difficult. No FaceTime. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how long did you guys chat before you saw each other?
It was a few months, and I was 16. She was 18, and I wasn't out yet, and I was kind of trying to figure myself out. And
which I feel like AOL was perfect for. AOL.
It was.
Yes.
It was. And so she lived in England, and I lived here in California. And she finally made the trip out, and she was not the girl in the pictures.
No.
So obviously you were like, please get away, you're a liar. You were like, I don't want you in my life, right?
Oh, it was horrible. I thought all those things, but when you're 16, you're way nicer than you are when you're 35.
Yeah.
So you basically said thank you. You said thank you. It's fine. And then you just left?
No.
They're still dating.
Vegas with me.
And
I let her hit it.
Yes. Look. I know that our relationship is built on a lie, but go ahead and take some.
Oh, I love her.
Leanne, you're awesome. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. More calls go to text on K-Rock. What happens when you let Chip bring in her records?
Oh,
right?
Oh, wake up, everybody. Wake up.
Third Eye Blind on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. We are talking about Dina Lohan on Celebrity Big Brother. Believes very strongly that she is in love with a man that she has been talking to on the phone for 5 years and that they are going to get married one day, yet they haven't met. Now, he lives all the way up in San Francisco, and she lives in L.A., so that's an hour flight.
Hard.
So it's understandable why in 5 years they haven't met.
Yeah.
We say catfishing, but she believes. So we're taking your calls of long-distance relationships or relationships where you guys didn't meet or see each other for a long time. And I think Monica is the call we've been waiting for. She's in L.A. She's on line 4. Monica, thank you for calling and holding on. What's going on?
Hi. Hey.
So
sorry,
what happened?
No, don't be nervous. We're all friends here.
You are among friends, absolutely. So how did you meet this young man or woman?
I met him on Facebook.
Okay.
We were part of a Dodger group. We're big Dodger fans. Mm-hmm. And he's a Dodger fan. And we started talking back in 2012 as friends, strictly as friends. And that lasted about a year. And then after that year, we started getting more, you know, flirtatious. And, you know, it became something more. We developed feelings for each other.
And he lived in Southern California just like you?
Yes, he did. He lived in Orange County and I lived in L.A. County.
Okay. Seems like a manageable distance to get together, but go on.
Yes. The reason we didn't meet, I didn't really want to meet him right away was because I wasn't in a relationship, but I was currently living with the father of my kids.
Yeah, it was complicated.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a complicated. And he thought he was being catfished because he kept asking me. He wanted to meet me and he wanted to meet me. And I kept, avoiding it.
Right. Gotcha.
So finally, after 2 years, we decided that we were going to meet at a Dodger game, and we met. And we kept, and he was everything I ever wanted. I guess I was everything he ever wanted, too, because we're together now, and I'm currently 5 months pregnant with his baby.
But so he'll wait 2 years to meet you, but he won't marry you.
We're supposed to get married next year.
Okay.
Monica, you waited, 2 years to meet. How long did you wait to let him put it in? It was after the game?
No. It could have happened, but no. I waited about 5 more months.
Monica!
Wow, you are the most patient person in the world.
He is.
This is a really good relationship.
I kind of love it.
These two I ship.
Yeah, you guys are going to stay together. I feel good about it as well, Monica. Thank you very much for the call and sharing your story. We appreciate it. All right, let's try Stephen Long Beach, shall we say, line one, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Stephen, you heard Monica's story. What's going on with you?
Well, back in 1996, AOL times, I heard that other caller mention AOL, and I thought, well, I'll go ahead and tell my story. Met a girl in a chat room. We hit it off just talking, and we ended up after three. We didn't meet. It took quite a while to meet. After about 3 years, we finally met. She lived on the East Coast in Connecticut, and it was great, but... The kicker of it was, is she ended up being a lot younger than what she had originally told me.
Uh-oh. Was Chris Hansen there?
How much younger? If she said she was 30 and she was 22, I'm still listening. But if it's something weirder than that, what happened?
Well, here's the deal. Okay, so when we first met, I was 26. She told me she was 23. When we first started talking, excuse me. Uh-huh. I was 26 in 96. She told me she was 23. We didn't meet until 1999. And I was then 29, and when we met, it actually came out that she had turned 18 6 months prior.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Wow. You were talking to a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And, back then, you send a picture, and you don't really... I mean, we were talking in the 90s. There wasn't FaceTime, and all that.
Yeah.
And, you send a picture, and they're kind of blurry, whatever. You know, she did her makeup up and everything. I mean, it was believable. And, she was very mature for her age in our talking and our conversation.
It's not his fault.
It's not his fault, though, right?
No. I mean, she misrepresented herself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But what happened, though, when you guys finally did meet? Somebody flew to somebody, and you realized the age difference was so great. What happened?
Yeah, well, we had a great weekend, we hit it off, and, things still did happen. She was legal, we hit it off, and we had a great weekend, but we realized with the age difference, obviously, she wasn't moving here, and I wasn't going to be moving there, but I will tell you this, guys, she's married, got two kids now, and she and I are still the best of friends.
Okay,
that's great. Nice.
Happy ending.
We still talk, and she's a great girl. And while I was a little upset, I could never falter. I mean, for the age difference thing, it was still we're still friends. And I've been with my girlfriend now for 10 years. So
this is great. Maybe Dina Lohan's not doomed.
You never know.
Sounds like all these stories work out, you guys.
Adam Carolla is coming in studio in about 15 minutes here on the world famous K Rock 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:05. Omar Khan is in the studio.
DJ Omar Khan,
DJ
please.
Omar Khan.
Omar, please.
Oh, right. Thank
Hot
you.
Names for this guy.
Hot Omar. You're like a Wu-Tang fan member.
Yeah. We've been telling everybody all day that you're a creep.
I'm not a creep, guys.
We'll be the judge of that.
That's what a creep would say.
Exactly.
So this past Sunday, we had a birthday party for my daughter, and during the middle of it, there was a bit of commotion indoors because there was a yellow jacket inside.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever been stung by a yellow jacket?
I have not.
Oh, it hurts like a mother.
Not only do I hear that it hurts, but if you happen to be allergic, it can kill you or do some serious damage, right? So this is what my sister-in-law tells me. She tells me if the yellow jacket is aggressive enough to come indoors, you probably have a nest nearby.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So you need to kind of, you know, check around and make
maybe like
sure.
Like around your roof or something?
Around your
tree?
Roof, around or maybe a tree, under the eaves or something.
A
you
neighbor's
need to check
bedroom?
This out, you know? We'll get to that.
Is your sister-in-law like a biologist? How does she
right? How does she know that?
I don't know.
Well, why did you question her?
But she's like freaking me out. So I was like, okay, you know. So she's like, you know what, try to find it.
I'll get my beekeeper suit.
Check under your eaves and call the bug guy. They'll take care of it. No problem. But just make sure, you know, look around. So on Monday.
Or a bee just flew in your house.
I mean, that's also possible.
Right. Maybe that is possible, but
a yellow jacket.
I guess it's not really that common for yellow jackets to be in our area. I don't know. Okay. This is what I've been told. And I'm like,
you're
well.
Going on very shaky information.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? I saw the bee movie with Jerry Seinfeld, and I know what he did. So
for me, there's no downside. And, you know, I don't want my kids to get stung.
Sure.
And so on Monday, I grab, you know, I start looking around, you know, the house, and I have a 2-story house, and I can't really see under the eaves clearly, but I have these, I went to Yellowstone a couple of years, and I have these really cool binoculars that can see really far.
All right, hold.
Right, for Yellowstone.
This is where Amar starts to build the defense.
Listen, No. So, I get the binoculars.
Let's call this segment from this point on evidence. Go on.
So, I'm looking under the eaves, and I'm checking everything out, and everything looks super normal. There's nothing going around in my house.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So now you think.
So I think, oh, maybe it's the neighbors, right? So I go on one side and I'm looking, you know, down there, oh, nothing. Then I go over here to the other one and I'm kind of like checking it out and there's this like weird angle and I'm trying to like lean over. And when you have binoculars, you don't have any peripheral vision.
Right.
So it's very tunnel vision. And I kind of like step back and I pan down and my neighbor is in the window for a split second and she closes the blinds.
So she was watching you.
I don't know
look at her
how long,
with binoculars.
Dude. Yeah, that happened.
Did you see at all what she was wearing? Did it seem like maybe you caught the tail end of a changing?
Here's the thing. I don't know because it happened so fast.
Yeah, you caught the tail end.
And I caught the tail end. Oh, and I'm like, no. I was like, it happened so fast. I couldn't react. I couldn't do anything.
Wait, did you pick your pants up?
Wow. What is your relationship with this neighbor? Do you know them well enough?
We're friendly.
Okay. Is this the meth house or the other one?
No, this is the other one. Okay, this is the one I like.
I would think you like the meth house.
So, we're friendly. They talk, you know, we talk when we see each other in the driveway. We don't go to each other's house or anything, you know.
But, no, I just look in it.
We're getting in our car. Hey, stop looking at me with binoculars.
So now my predicament is like,
hold. So yesterday when you told us the story, we said, let's talk to her on the phone.
Yeah, we need her.
So,
what happened?
I'm not doing that. I just want to not say anything, and hopefully it'll just pass, and we'll be friendly.
You were going to get her on the phone.
Okay, this just in. It's never going to pass because you're always going to be our creepy neighbor that looked at me through the window with binoculars.
Did you at least go over and say, hey, this is what was happening?
At the very
least. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. What?
But now, you know, that's...
Did you say no?
No. So that was on Monday. Now, am I past the point of...
No. No. Every day that goes past, it's getting worse. You need to say, listen.
She's already told like 20 people.
Yeah.
This has been bothering me, and I just need to come and address it. I'm so sorry. I was looking for bee stuff because some chick in my house said there might be a bee.
Maybe don't say bee stuff.
Yeah. You might want to rehearse that. But,
and then I saw
don't
your
you
bees.
Think that no matter whatever I say,
I was hoping
isn't
for sea stuff.
Right. I was hoping for tees, but your bees.
Anything I say, though, she's not going to buy.
I don't believe that.
You don't think so?
You already have a friendly relationship.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, I think she would give you the benefit.
But she doesn't know me. You know what I mean?
Well, you know her now.
Well, now.
I really think you could say, there was yellow jackets, I was looking for a nest. I've been thinking about it, and I can't get out of my head that I want to see you naked.